much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I need a tape recorder with a microphone now. I need to record something.
Okay, is there anything special? You want me to name the file?
Yeah, name the file, press record now before I smash your f***ing face in.
Okay, and we're rolling.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Woo! Well, hello. Something that has always pissed me off. And not because I'm a gay person, but because I'm a smart person. Because this doesn't make sense when people say it. When people say, "That's so gay," it sends off a red flag in my mind. And it really makes me feel bad for this generation.
Ha! Gay!
And now...
It's morning. I'm hungry. How should I start my day? Lisa May for breakfast? Hip hip hooray. Yummy yummy yummy. Tummy tummy tummy. Lisa May.
Our feature presentation.
Morning everybody.
Wait,
Kevin and Bean Show.
Is it the fan again?
Brand new program.
Are we having trouble with the air conditioner again?
Yeah, it's not working.
You've got to be kidding.
There's no actual numbers on the...
The thermostat is
thermostat.
Like completely dead now.
Is there any way you can you move the fan? Can you move the fan away from the microphone so that I can hear you guys?
All right, let me just try. Is that better?
It's a little bit better, but it's not going
to... That's all we're giving you, man. We're not going to 90 degrees. Well, we are.
Now, wait.
The truth is it's going to be 90 eventually.
It was 90 degrees. I still can... I can't hear myself. It's so loud. Is there any way you can bring the fan down?
I'll
is that
try.
Possible? 2 days ago, the air conditioning wasn't working in the studio, and it was 90.
Yes.
Yesterday, I did not hear much complaining. It seemed like it was much better. No?
It was. It was working fine yesterday.
So what's going on today? How do we go
now
back
it's
to
hot?
We don't know.
Wow.
Just came in and the thermostat is completely dead.
Dude,
and it's
that's
really warm in here.
That is that's a zero right there.
That's a zero.
That's a non-starter.
Yeah. It really this place is always just an experience in terror. You never know what what's going to happen today. So you come in and you go, "All right, let's see what it is."
You know,
we're just lucky
up,
to be on the air.
A little heads up would be nice, right?
Sure.
Let us know. Come in so we can come in flip flops and tank tops.
Now I got it rotating, so you'll only hear it about every 3 seconds. So we're
now,
good.
It's good when it hits me.
What happens to the overnight person who obviously knows before you guys get in that it's a million degrees? Do they let anybody know? Is there somebody working on it?
Mike's in flannel. Clearly, Mike's nobody told him anything.
No, and I can't really blame the overnight board up because let's say he did alert, say, an engineer or something. It would be at 3:45 in the morning, so they're not going to go through the process of letting anybody know before they come into work, you know, the next business day.
Good times.
All right.
Well, at least let's look at it this way. We've had every other day. We've had air conditioning.
That's a good point.
Right.
Glass full.
That's right. Half full.
By the way, we're going to take your calls on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Now. I will say, though, if you're going to have the air conditioning out, go ahead and do it on a day when Bear Grylls is coming in.
Yeah.
Man versus Wild, because it's not going to bother him at all.
That's right. Maybe he can fix it.
Maybe he could fix it.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. We should totally send him up on the roof if that's what's necessary.
Give him some tree branches and a little glue, and he'll fix it.
Because he's a guy who he can survive anything. He's been in much hotter weather than this,
sure.
Much colder weather than this, and he can just handle it. So,
he'll laugh at this.
Wears you out, though. I'm just saying that wears you out. That makes every minute seem like an hour when it's way too hot. It's funny though. If it were the same temperature outside, Kevin, you would love it.
Yeah,
I probably would.
Yeah, you're right.
But inside, for some reason, it just kills you.
Yeah,
it does. Kat said the other day. She said, "You know, after an hour, I realized my mind had just stopped working.
We may die."
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, we have a good job and everything, so we shouldn't complain. But the fact that we might die counteracts that a bit.
A little bit.
It's like the Chilean mines. They had no complaints until one day when they did, and it was fairly legitimate.
Exactly.
Now, this may be a dumb question, but is it like this in all of the studios down the hall? Could you move into another room? Is that possible or no?
You think I had time to check that before I came in?
Oh, that's true. You just walked in.
Okay. Are you crazy?
Because maybe you and Lisa move into the next studio,
yeah,
which may have
that's what I'm talking
Let's
about.
Let's go, baby.
Which may have air conditioning. Leave Psycho Mike behind. You just run the controls.
I like it. That's a great idea.
If there's any way we could just turn the fan down so that people could enjoy listening to the show, though, that would be great.
How about that?
They're still not enjoying it, but at least they can hear it.
All right.
1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. If you want to give us a call right now, it's time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right. This is going to make you laugh when I tell you that we're giving away a pair of passes to see Warren Miller's Wintervention.
Yes.
Because winter is not exactly on your mind right now, but it is coming to the LAOC area December 2nd through the 10th, along with a pair of tickets to Ski Dazzle happening at the LA Convention Center this year, the 2nd through the 5th. 1-800-520-1067. Seriously, it's like I'm standing in the surf, man. I can't hear is waves.
We're on the sun, man. What do you want from us?
Let's try Isaac. He's on line one if you want to go to him.
Hey, Isaac.
What it do, baby boo? Hey, so I need some advice about how I should go about or ask my wife to, get back in the gym. You know, I don't want to be too mean, but she just can't seem to put the turkey leg down.
How much weight has she gained, your wife?
I'd say about 15 pounds in the last 2 months.
15 pounds in 2 months.
Wow, that's sure tough to pregnant. Do.
That's aggressive weight gain.
It is. We get this question fairly often, by the way, and I guess it is a daunting task. There are two options you can go. You can go the way that Lisa May suggests, which is that you try to bring yourself into the same conversation, which is, hey, we both need to get in shape and kind of work on it together, and please help me and I'll help you, and we go on a diet, so it's not all about her. And that's one way you can go. My advice is to let Psycho Mike talk to her.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Because Psycho Mike is extremely sensitive when it comes to women who have gained even 6 ounces.
I mean, do you think you'll be like this during the whole pregnancy? I mean,
she is pregnant.
What?
You idiot.
Oh, no, you're so funny.
I'm just kidding.
She's not pregnant.
No, as far as he knows.
All right.
Isaac, we need to know something. This is serious.
Yep.
Are you in good shape? And be honest.
I try to go at least 4 to 5 times, but I have a gym at work, so I go at least 3 to 4 times. I try to be.
You guys answer my question. Are you in good shape?
How much weight do you need to lose?
I'm in good shape. I'm still in the military, so.
Okay. That's a tough one, because if you had a little pooch too, it would be, like Lisa said, it'd be easy for you guys to both kind of just do it together.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get her to go with me too, and I think her motivation is just gone.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, is she depressed? What's going on with her?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, a lot has been going on, so that could be it. I don't know.
There's always the one thing that no one wants to say out loud, and I'll go ahead and just say it. You fake your own death.
You have 15 pounds, after all.
You just fake
it
your
is.
Own death, and
That's
then
true.
You,
I mean,
you
I,
walk
I,
away if you're free.
I'm exaggerating with the 15 pounds. You know,
so it's like two.
No.
Nothing you're telling us makes
Wait,
sense.
You're exaggerating with the 15 pounds? How much is it really?
No, it's, like 7-8 pounds. But I mean, it's
7 or 8 pounds? Don't waste my time with 7 or 8 pounds. Everybody goes up 10 pounds either way.
He said 7-8 pounds. A good amount.
Yeah. All right. Get off my phone.
You're an a-hole. Don't say anything. Okay.
Unbelievable. Here we are trying to help the guy.
It wasn't 7 to 8, but it was about 3 ounces.
it was about 3 ounces, right. It may just be time to cut him loose. That's what I'm going to advise her. Believe me, she's going to lose a weight fast once she doesn't have him around.
Because then
she'll be so happy. All right, one more real quick. Dan, call in about something Psycho Mike and I were just talking about. How bogus is this? Dan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on the air. What it do?
What it do, nephew? How y'all feeling?
We are good.
Excellent. You know what? I'm really bummed out about this. I heard that they're banning the tournament illegal, that those alcoholic energy drinks, man. Come on.
Four Loko?
Yeah, man. It's like, how am I, I get tired and come home from work. I want a nice buzz. I want to stay up at night. It's perfect. I'm driving home. I can drink a couple. It's a beautiful situation,
The FDA made, mafia intimidation comments about Four Loko and the company that makes it. They said
it's insane. Yeah. It's absolutely, I can't even believe that I'm watching this happen. Look, you can go out and you can buy any kind of straight hard liquor that you want, yet you can't buy Four Loko, something that just because it has caffeine in it, it's ridiculous.
Exactly.
It's the caffeine is all they're complaining about.
Well, it's the combination of the caffeine and the high alcohol content. But Bean's exactly, in a world where you can go buy a bottle of Jaeger, there should be no problem with Four Loko.
Exactly.
The fact that some people abuse it, some idiots abuse it, shouldn't ruin it for everybody else. And the same goes for a lot of very helpful medications and stuff that have been banned. Because it can be dangerous if you abuse it, does not mean it shouldn't be available to people who aren't.
Right, so maybe it's too strong for some people, or some people have a bad reaction, some people get sick, some people pass out. That's true of a million other things that you can name. It doesn't mean they should be illegal for all of us. I'm embarrassed, and I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think my state, the state of Washington, was the first to come out and ban it, which just was humiliating to me, because, you know, how about a little less government intervention? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Matt, how about a little less, let the free market decide and let people make their own choices about products that ought to be legal? For God's sakes, it's absurd. Well, Psycho Mike, I'm not joking. We were talking about this before we took your call, Dan. Mike's sending somebody out today to buy as much as we can. So we've got it stocked up here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're going on a Loco grab?
Yeah, we need the OG, heavy-duty, full-fledged yep. 4 Loco. So when we do have the 4 Loco Friday show, we don't have this BS wannabe 4 Loco.
Right.
All right.
You make it sound like it's going to be one 4 Loco Friday show. It's going to be every yeah. Friday. But we need to send somebody around to as many stores as possible to buy as much as there is before it's gone, because it's just crazy.
Yeah, it really is crazy.
I mean, I'm not just this isn't fake outrage. I'm really upset about this.
Outraged about a drink he will never try.
Exactly.
but the on sound principles. Sound principles. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation and you may not like that situation.
Yeah.
Good point, right?
Yeah, who's that, you ask?
There's no way to tell. You can't, from hearing the clip, you can't figure out who that is speaking. I'm sorry.
That's the situation. Yeah, we have an internet roundup for you today. We'll put that up. It's he and Bristol Palin, by the way.
Oh, excellent.
B. Palin.
I'm sorry, B. Palin. I apologize. Also on today's show, we have Tanner Faust, who, of course, is one of the top drift drivers. And he's going to tell us about Top Gear.
Mm-hmm. I like cars.
That's Lightning, our former producer. He's super excited. He was probably up for an hour now waiting.
Top Gear,
talk about it.
Core.
We also have Bear Grylls in the studio.
Yeah,
fix the air conditioning.
He can fix the air conditioning and everything else, hopefully. But he'll drink his own pee, so it's kind of a wash. You just can't tell on that. We're going to give you an update on Miss Double D.
Yeah.
We have the Dr. Drew segment that we always talk about.
Okay.
We're going to tell you about some more information about Bruce Springsteen singing I Whip My Hair Back and Forth. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. And we're also going to have Russell Crowe on the
show.
Wow.
And you must mean a mechanic from Wichita whose name is also
no,
Russell Crowe, right?
The actor.
The real Russell Crowe guy? The guy who won the Oscar? The Gladiator?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Russell Crowe.
See how that goes.
On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday, a very special Thursday, by the way. If you're interested in attending night one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, that's the one that we told you about with Smashing Pumpkins, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, Day to Remember, Dirty Heads, Amberlin, and Switchfoot, all on one night, December 11th, at the Gibson Amphitheater in Los Angeles, California. Tickets go on sale today at noon. Just go to our website, kevinandbean.com, for all the details. You don't want to miss that. You're lame if you miss that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, don't miss that. All right. Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Kevin Beat Thursday show. What's happening? What's
going
on?
You know who I'm better than?
Who?
Tony Parker.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
The San Antonio Spurs. More details coming out about the dissolution of his relationship with Eva Longoria. She filed divorce papers yesterday.
And her people denied it?
Yeah. Absolutely not. 100% false. Rumor. They said the night before, and then the next day.
Oh, you mean those papers?
Oh, divorce papers.
Yes. We misunderstood.
We thought you said shmavorce papers. We don't even know what shmavorce is.
That seems silly.
She had a statement yesterday. It is with great sadness that after 7 years together, Tony and I have decided to divorce. We love each other deeply.
That's good.
And pray for each other's happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I think she prays for a grand piano to fall out of a window and land on him, because turns out the details behind the divorce are very interesting. Parker was allegedly having an affair with Erin Barry. If that last name sounds familiar to you, it's because it is the wife of his Spurs teammate, Brent Barry.
Oh!
Really?
Oh.
We talked about how difficult it would be to be in a relationship with someone at work and then break up and still have to work together.
Uh-huh.
Imagine cheating on your wife with your coworker's wife. How does that situation play out on the court?
Well, he doesn't pass you the ball, I'll tell you that, no matter how open you are.
You've passed too many balls at that point, I think.
I'm open under the basket. Nope.
Yeah, the TV tabloid show Extra claims that Eva found hundreds of text messages on Tony's phone from Aaron, and that's how she first got clued into the relationship. People, in this world of technology we live in,
yeah,
find the delete button.
Yeah, use your head. Seriously. In their defense, Ralph, they were married 3 years. I mean, that's
true. They gave it all.
That's a good, pretty good run in Hollywood.
Unreal. Speaking of divorce, Avril Lavigne, excuse me, and Derek Whibley, they're officially divorced. They split up in October of last year, and the paperwork is now final. They were married in 2006, so they gave it almost 4 years.
Wow, that was exceptional.
So, come on. Got to give somebody a break.
Serve an award.
You know, sick. Bill Nye, the science guy.
Uh-oh.
He had to be helped off the stage by paramedics after multiple fainting spells at a USC appearance on Tuesday night. Spokesperson for Bill Nye, the science guy, says it was brought on by too much Four Loko.
Is that what he said?
Can you believe that?
Wow.
No wonder they're banning that stuff. Bill Nye, the science guy, can't even drink it.
Man.
Did you see the weird part about that story, Ralph, that people are now questioning?
What? No, what?
He falls on stage. He walks out. He falls on stage. He's you know, by all accounts, if you're sitting in the audience, he's just collapsed. He looks unconscious. Nobody stands up to help him. Half the audience pulls out their phones and starts tweeting or Facebook updating about
it. All right.
Well, they had to get their bets in on the celebrity death pool.
Everybody's got time to do that. Everybody's got time to be a witness. Nobody's got time to actually come to the assistance of Bill Nye the Science Guy. Well, it's a crazy
maybe it's a demonstration. It's part of his
right
act.
Maybe they thought it was a wacky experiment.
But isn't that weird that your first impulse would be, oh, I got to tweet this, rather than let's go see if the brother's breathing?
Everybody, I'm going to deprive my brain of oxygen. Let's see what happens next.
Right. Cameras are rolling.
Goes down. His representative says it was brought on by too much work. Really? When's the last time you saw Bill Nye, the science guy, on television? What's he doing? That's so exhausting.
Yeah, I don't know what he's been up to lately.
Nobody does.
Working a lot, though. We know that.
Congratulations to Chad Ochocinco. He's engaged. She's a lucky, lucky woman. She's a lucky, lucky woman.
Wish she could take his last name?
Yes, her name is Evelyn Lozada. She will now be known as Evelyn Ochocinco. He gave her a huge ring, 10-carat diamond ring.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
To propose. She may sound familiar, too. She's on the reality show Basketball Wives.
I don't watch it. That's the professional NBA player?
NBA, yeah. Divorced exes getting together, bitching and moaning.
Eva Longoria.
She's joining the cast, yes. She was engaged to Antoine Walker of the Celtics. That was her claim to fame.
Oh, nice.
He's not even playing in the league anymore, I don't think. Too much Four Loko.
Yeah, no, for reals. He was a bad, bad alcohol problem.
Yeah, he had a booze problem, right? That's what I heard.
Awesome.
Christian Bale says, if you hear all those rumors about being an A-list actor is all glitz and glamour. You're absolutely right. Kristen told Esquire magazine that he's got a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah?
He says, I go to work, people do my hair and my makeup, say a few lines, and people spoil me rotten.
He says, oh, good for you!
It's good to be a movie star, as if we didn't know. But it's nice to have someone at least admit the fact.
Sure.
And this is great. This may be my favorite story of the week. A Wisconsin man was watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
He found out Bristol Palin made it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled out his shotgun and shot his television set.
Well,
I told you people were upset about this.
Some people are really invested in that show.
He showed them.
67-year-old Steve Cowan was watching the show with his wife. They got into a heated argument over whether Sarah Palin's daughter deserved success or not on the show. Steven did not think he was a good dancer, said Janice. That's when he grabbed his shotgun and fired a round to the television screen.
Wow.
Police responded, but Steven refused to come out, leading to a 15-hour police standoff.
Wow.
Yeah. Eventually he was surrendered and was charged with reckless endangerment and use of a dangerous weapon. Judges gave him a 7, a 7, and an 8. So, not a bad round for Steven. Congratulations. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Kevin Nealon, our good buddy Kevin Nealon, celebrates his 57th birthday today. Oscar Nunez, who plays Oscar on The Office, he is 52. actress Elizabeth Perkins. Very funny and talented actress. She's on Weeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's 50 years old.
She's still in the cast. We haven't seen her once this season yet, but they still put her name up there.
Four Loko. That's the problem.
Yeah, maybe. Loko. And I heard she cheated on Eva Longoria, too. Oh.
Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 48 years old today. Do yourself a favor and check out the little video of him booting a kid off the stage.
That's pretty strong.
It's pretty entertaining. Owen Wilson is 42 years old today. Mike Epps celebrates his 40th birthday. Actress Chloe Sevigny is 36
years old.
I'm
sorry. I got to give her a bell.
Really?
Yeah. Very
sexy. Dude.
Very sexy.
Wow. Not even.
Yeah.
That is no.
That's a total bean pick.
That is a bean bell.
Something about her. I don't know. Psycho Mike, you got my back on Chloe, don't you?
Very tough one. Incredibly talented.
Yes.
Scorching hot body. But very
sexy, though.
Unique face.
Yeah. I've seen
her
got
like
stroke face.
A bunch of movies where she gets
big
red
for
so
me
hot.
In the Poon Department because she has like impeccable style, like really good style. But I don't know about the grill, man. That's a tough one. That's a coin toss for the Mikester.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling the bell. I know. That's how he refers to himself now.
And style points, too, by the way.
Yeah.
What world now?
I know.
What fresh hell is this? The Mikester's giving out style points for bells.
Is it the Mikester or is it Carson Kressley? Who's working with us now?
I have no idea. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here with Tanner Fouse.
You know, rally racing is one of those things that has got a deep hook in me.
On the black course, Tanner Fouse is going to take the jump. Will it be smoother this time? Certainly lower speed. That's perfect for Tanner Fouse.
You know, a rally is like basically doing 150 miles of a drift competition in a weekend.
And Faust now is starting to charge. He wants to catch up. Let's hope there's no damage to Tanner Faust's car from tagging that wall.
Like on the outside, I think it looks more violent than on the inside. On the inside, it's kind of like you're just floating sideways.
Look at Tanner go. He is not giving up. He's going to push all the way to the finish. Tanner Faust is a stunt driver. He knows how to trim the car. He spends every day driving a car. Wow, look at Faust.
They will come straight on.
Indeed. This weekend is the one that car enthusiasts have been waiting for. It is finally arriving. Top Gear in America on the History Channel Sunday night at 10 o'clock. One of the hosts of the program is Tanner Faust, who we're very happy to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Tanner, how are you, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Sure. You bet. I feel like such a slacker every time we have you on, and I listen to some of those highlights of your X Games and movies and all the other stuff that you've done. I feel like I got to get up out of this chair every once in a while just to compete in your world, dude.
You can't compete in his world, so don't worry about it.
There's a lot of fun to be had out in those cars, that's for sure.
I bet there is. Tanner, for people like you who love cars and have your whole life, being involved in an outfit like Top Gear has just got to feel like making it on a whole nother level. I mean, this is big time, my friend.
Well, it's not just a great show, and I'm a big fan of the UK show and of the hosts there. It's got to be one of the best jobs in the automotive world. It's three guys coming up with the most fun things you could possibly do with a car and then having somebody give you a budget to go do it.
Now, they've been doing this in Britain since 1977?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's been going on for a long time.
What's our rush to get it here?
Worldwide, it's an amazing show. You know, it's a 350 million viewers weekly.
Wow.
In 170 countries. And it's but there's a big enough car culture here in the States that it really is cool that we have our own version. You know, the three of us, we don't try to copy the British show. It's really just three Americans, and we're talking about American cars and things that we like about cars here in the States.
Right, right. I just read the synopsis for what you're going to be doing on Episode 1 this Sunday night on the History Channel. For folks who maybe don't know even what the Top Gear format is all about, give some examples on this weekend show of things that we're going to be tuning in to see.
It is hard to describe, isn't it? But there, I think we take a Viper, a Dodge Viper, and we come up with a challenge to take the Viper from an airport into the middle of this town of Georgia and back while a Cobra attack helicopter is trying to shoot us. And there's,
some would call that dangerous.
Yeah, well, they don't have real missiles loaded in there. We have this radar sensor in the car that tells us when we've got line of sight and then when they actually have killed us. And we get three lives, kind of like a video game. So we go through this town of Griffin and you know, this helicopter is just hovering between the buildings and seeking us out. And I mean, it's quite an adventure. That's one of them. I think, In another one, we test three Lamborghinis. The three hosts, Adam Rutledge and I, are trying to find the best Lamborghini out there. And so there's new cars, there's old cars, there's celebrities that big celebrity, small car, which is a segment where celebrities, you know, ranging from Tony Hawk to, in the first show, I think it's Buzz Aldrin, the the astronaut.
Is he still alive?
He is alive and kicking. All right. He's the wildest 80-year-old man you'll ever meet.
Mm. Kevin, he was just on Dancing with the Stars last year. He's not only alive, he's still out there getting it done.
All right, take it easy.
Buzz could kick Tanner's ass if he wanted to. I'm sorry.
That is the truth.
180 miles an hour in a Lamborghini. How does that compare to what you do when you're in your day job, Tanner?
Well, with the kind of cars I race, with rally cars and drifting, you never really get to go that fast. So 180 miles an hour is a really amazing experience. You just, you know, your right foot is buried on that gas pedal for such a long time in a 600-horsepower car. It's strange. The front end kind of starts to float around at about 150. It starts to move a little bit, and you just kind of stick with it. And then you wonder why you're doing it, and it's because of pride, because you got two guys behind you, you know, daring that you can't, basically. And when you hit those kinds of speeds, it's really exhilarating.
It has to be a little scary as well. I mean, everybody knows when you're a kid, you're on a bike, you're on a skateboard, and you're going downhill, and you're gaining too much speed, you don't know how to stop, and you start feeling like this might be it. I might die right now. You get a little scared.
Yeah. No, there's that point of no return where when your center of gravity like slips over the edge of the high dive or something, you know, where you know you're at the point of no return.
And that's,
at that speed, you get this kind of tunnel vision where, you know, everything is coming by so fast, you can't really, your peripheral vision sort of goes away. So you're looking for the braking indicators, and we have this little cone out on the runway. And it's hard to see at that speed. And I know Rutledge, my co-host, wussed out, as he usually does.
Oh, because he's a pussy.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he was afraid he might have passed it.
Yeah.
And he really wasn't even close. It was fairly sad. And Adam, on the other hand, has basically no self-preservation instinct. And so with him, you almost need to have somebody always riding with him, telling him to slow down. So there are some interesting guys to work with when we really start pushing cars to the limit. Anything can happen.
Can I ask a question? Is it too much to ask for guys who are going 180 miles an hour in a car to make a bigger cone? I mean, it shouldn't be easy to miss.
It shouldn't be on you to spot it in a fleeting second out of the corner of your eye. That's an excellent point. Go ahead and put up a billboard or something so you can have something to look at, a reference point.
Yeah, I don't think it would matter. Rutledge was going to lift early. He would still slow down.
I have a clip from the show, and I think this kind of explains everything you need to know about Top Gear.
Awesome!
So you got that going on.
There it is. What else do you need to know?
That's a beautiful sound.
How do we do it, Tanner?
Tanner, you could be right. For a guy who's gotten to do so many cool things behind the wheel of a car, it sounds like you've peaked now. This is the best job in automotives. I don't know how you're going to ever be able to do anything better than this, man. This sounds like it's going to be an awesome show Sunday night.
Well, it really is a cool thing to do, just because you get to go do such random stuff. We went out on a venture through Alaska trying to find the toughest pickup truck. I got to ski a Mitsubishi Evo down Mammoth Mountain.
Awesome.
I mean, it's just the most random stuff. And the History Channel connection is very cool, because they're really connecting all of this, the car stuff, to the automotive history of the U.S. really to history. And it really is a direct connection there. So it makes a lot of sense. They've got a big demographic, 70% male demographic. And I'm really excited to see how the American public takes this British format show.
Yeah, me too. Top Gear debuts this Sunday night, November 21st at 10 on the History Channel. Tanner Faust. This may be one of his last interviews that he ever does, depending on what his job for Top Gear is later on today. So, Tanner, I'm glad you chose to spend part of your last day with the Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye now. Hey,
Bear Grylls from Man vs. Wild. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, good. Surviving. Nice to be with you.
That's your whole job.
Is there any way you could fix our air conditioner before you go with just what's in your pockets? I know I've seen you do some pretty amazing stuff on your show. Please help.
Yeah, where is it? Is it in the roof?
Yes,
we don't know. I believe it's on the roof.
It's frozen. What have we got? Let's have a look.
Because you can fix anything with pee. That's what I learned. I learned that from watching Man vs. Wild. I have a clip just to back me up for a little proof. This is how you solve any problem.
In North Africa, as temperature soared, I had to find a way to cool myself down.
Take your T-shirt.
and then just pee on it. Try and capture as much of that fluid as you can. And even just, you know, a little bit of into the mouth is just going to help moisten it, take the edge off of thirst. And actually even just wiping on my face. It's cooling my face down.
That's the answer for everything.
Your air conditioning problem is about to get a whole lot worse
before that starts happening. That's why, Kevin, you would be dead if Bear is still here alive. Bear Grylls, by the way, the man who climbed Mount Everest at 23 years old, which is still the stat that blows me away every single time we have him on. All right. What's the hottest weather you've ever been in, by the way, in the deserts around the world that you've gone to?
Probably the outback of Australia in the heat of summer where always before we film, I get a briefing from the local search and rescue guys or the rangers. And, you know, normally they're kind of pretty full-on briefings, but the one I got this time basically said, if you get dropped into this desert with no survival skills, no water, you'd be dead in 3 hours.
Oh, 3 hours?
And it was like, you know, I'm kind of going, okay, let's get this one right.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it's kind of crazy hot and just unforgiving. But, you know, there's also a magic to that sort of kind of edge, and you just need to... I don't know, I come alive in those moments a little bit.
But it's, I mean, are we talking 125? Is it roughly somewhere around there?
Yeah, probably plus, you know. It kind of plus, hits 130, and it's, yeah, it, as it is kind of just unforgiving, and your margins for error get reduced a lot. And, you know, we have a small crew of four of us who, you know, work kind of super hard with me all around the world. It's difficult places. But the times we've come closest, actually, is in the deserts. And, you know, we ended up on that one with a load of the guys getting... you know, evacuated with heat stroke and ended up just me and one other, and it's like, you know, kind of close to not having a show at the moment.
Yeah, now, I'm kidding. You were a member of the British Special Forces, right? For how many years? 3-4 years?
Yeah, I did 4.5 years there.
Do you think all of this comes out of that lack of adrenaline? You think that you need to challenge yourself or something? Is that part of what makes you do what you do?
Kind of maybe a little bit. I mean, I was brought up doing a lot of this. I was taught to climb by my late dad when I was very small, and I kind of grew up in that outdoor world and loved it, and I found it was the only thing I was really good at as a kid growing up. And when I joined the army, my job with the special forces was all the combat survival and the climbing and the skydiving, and so it was a kind of, that's where I gained a lot of the skills, I think. But I think it's more than adrenaline. I think adrenaline doesn't last for 3.5 months on a mountain like Everest. Something else needs to drive you. And I think a lot of it for me is actually identity. It's where I've always kind of found, you know, I can shine. It's the one little area that I can...
I can do this.
You know, yeah.
All I think when I see you in, you know, the Arctic Circle or something on Man vs. Wild, I think, what's so bad at Bear Grylls' house that he'd rather be there than at home? What's Bear
what's
running,
he running from?
That's the question I always ask.
I'm married to a 30-stone monster. I've got the most gorgeous, lovely family of 3 young boys and a lovely wife. And for me, it's all about coming home, actually. And I think sometimes, you know, it's when you go away, you realize how kind of special what you have at home. So for me, it's always about staying alive, getting back to them. And then I have a very normal kind of... home life with them.
My kids want
to eat all the bugs in the garden as soon as I get home. I'm going, look, just let me get in through the door.
Bears is there, and he goes, look, kids, you don't have anything for dinner. Go out and find some. That's what he does. I don't care what it is. Go find
some. Well, see, that's the reality is Shara, my wife, looks at me in the bath with all the bubbles and these rubber ducks floating around and the 3 boys, and she goes, if all these people could know how pathetically sort of soppy you are in reality. So that's more the reality.
She actually sees you getting your mani-pedi. She doesn't see what the rest of us see on the TV, right?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, is it true that there is now a Bear Grylls iPhone app to help me survive in the event that I find myself in some sort of a sticky situation?
Yeah, no, it launches next week, so we're excited about that. And, you know,
what's it going to teach me or tell me how to do?
Everything. Can keep you alive, brother.
As long as you can get a cell phone signal, you're good.
No, you don't even need that. Once that apps on your phone, it's there, and it still tell you everything you need to survive. You ever find yourself in a difficult situation?
Oh, I see. Well, so who needs that less than Bean, though? Because he never leaves his house.
I could be stuck. So I could be.
Never know.
I could fall down in the backyard, and not be able to get up, and then wonder which plants I can eat. I mean, is that the sort of thing that I can look up on the app?
Yeah, for sure. You know, but you can do everything. I mean, it's got quizzes and games, and you can sort of take photos of the clouds and tell you what the weather's doing and whether you need to get off or onto a mountain, and you know, if you. But he's caught in an avalanche, what you do, or if you've gone through the ice, or somebody's broken their leg, or, you know, it's kind of everything, and it's all my training tips for how I train. And
that's fantastic.
All of those examples is the answer P on your app. It just comes back up.
P does feature quite a lot. But, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Bear Grylls is here. Of course, you know I'm in love for Man vs. Wild, which isn't coming back with a new season until February. But the reason he's here today, and we'll take a quick break and come back and talk all about this, is the Chain of Adventure video series. Because Bear felt that he wasn't getting enough excitement and adventure in his Man vs. Wild life. So now he's got to be doing something else that's even crazier, if you can believe it. Chain of Adventure is what it's called. We'll tell you all about it right after this on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin Amin Show. By the way, don't forget, briefly, the end of the show on Monday is your last chance to audition. Send in your entry photos and application to be Miss Double December 2011. We'll tell you all about that if you haven't heard yet, that the submissions are being taken in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Amin Show. Right now, though, our friend Bear Grylls back in studio on the Kevin Amin Show. You know him from Man vs. Wild and a new web series that you can see on YouTube, The Degree Men Channel is where you want to go. Degree Men. What's Chain of Adventure all about, Bear? What craziness have you gotten into now?
Well, there is a kind of series of challenges that I've been set by Mark Sanchez and Kevin Durant and Tony Hawk, and it's kind of bringing together their sports and their worlds with the world of adventure, and it's a load of challenges that they set me to overcome, and we've just finished filming them, and Mark Messier kind of hosted it with me, and we had a blast, you know. It was kind of... Kevin Durant was saying, can you do an alley-oop but off a cliff, running off a 500-foot cliff and trying to catch a, catch the skids of a helicopter, and it's like, you know, and then Tony Hawk's getting me to land a skateboard under parachute, having skydived out with his skateboard on my feet.
These guys can't do that, though, right?
No, but they're kind of challenging. They're challenging me. So we've done them all, and then the last one is a consumer challenge where people go to... you know, I think it's degreemen.com or something like that, and you basically kind of put your challenge, what would you like to see me do?
Let's see, run nude through Compton.
It's hilarious that they can't... It's hilarious, like somebody like Mark Sanchez, Sanchito, it's hilarious that he can't do it, but can try to get you to do it. That's got to be so much fun for him.
I know, it's kind of... I had him on this kind of iPhone or iPad giving me all these instructions. He's going, Bear, can you do it, man? You know, I challenge you, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I'd love just a cup of tea and just sit down. You know?
I really don't want to do that right
now.
But now, it was fun to do, and then I'm in LA now to film these Degree commercials, which have basically been chased by wolves around the streets of LA.
All right.
Wow.
That's kind of, I leave here and I go straight for that. The wolves are being fed at the moment in the back of some truck.
No, they're not. They're not being fed.
Well, they're not being fed.
No. so you're filming the commercial, you're saying, with real wolves, they're going to be chasing you.
Yeah, we've got wolves today, and then I'm chased by wolverines tomorrow.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I think what I've got to do is, I don't know, I'm not entirely sure what I've got to do.
Are you writing a book?
Just finished it. Man vs. Wild, and it's a kind of survival, you know, manual how to get your merry backside out of trouble if you ever find yourself in it.
Ah. And it just came out or when?
Out earlier this year.
Earlier this year.
And yeah, it's kind of, you know.
This Chain of Adventure sounds so awesome, by the way. And of course, you know, everyone's got the internet so we can see it. But I'm surprised something like this, especially with the star power involved, I'm surprised it's not on television. I'm a little bit surprised that Discovery doesn't want to put it on.
They've been putting the adverts on TV, so that's been kind of out.
I see.
So yeah, I mean, it's funny because I don't live over here. I kind of come and visit for various things to see friends or film. So I get lots of kind of friends in America going, "Hey, just seen your thing on this or whatever." But I don't know why they put it where they put it.
And how come Discovery Channel's not going to run Man vs. Wild till February? Come on now, come on.
We've just started filming season 6, so we finished filming yesterday in the Arizona desert. So. It's kind of mad, you know, we're suddenly filming episode 71, you know, and it's like, I remember when we started this, you know, 6 seasons ago, and I thought, we'll never do more than 4 episodes, because, you know, one of us is going to be dead, or it's going to, like, we're going to be beaten.
Right.
But it's been a huge privilege, and, you know, starting season 6 is fun, and, you know, we've got half of those done, and they come out in the new year.
Now, so. When you start filming, do you have a little bit of a sense of dread, because you know what you're going into is going to suck?
Totally.
Right. Okay.
I'm glad you're admitting that.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, you know, and I've really learned to, you know, I started off so much more kind of confident that, you know, I could take on the wild. And like 71 shows on, I'm realizing the wild kicks ass.
The wild wins?
Well, it's kind of big and scary, and there's a lot that happens and goes wrong, and it's you
there's
know I kind of do need to
bolster
myself a little bit before it always.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah, I bet.
I watched 6 seasons. I think I can do anything, and then I didn't see the episode where you admit you can't beat Wild. Now I'm screwed.
That's right. By the way, you mentioned the Arizona desert. Have you ever tried to cross the border on Man vs. Wild? That might be fun.
Well, it was kind of weird filming there, you know, because literally, the briefing I got beforehand, you know, they're saying hundreds and hundreds of people die in this desert.
Yeah. That's right.
And, you know, the ranger said he'd just come across the body of a 14-year-old girl a few weeks earlier. Oh, wow. And died. Mm. And you just think, what happens in our world that 14-year-old girls are dying alone in the desert? And it's like, it was kind of a pretty sober place.
She should have had your iPhone app.
That's right.
Sober place film. But it was mad because I found this ultralight that had crashed. And, they reckon it would have been used by people trying to cross the border. But there was loads on it that I could use, and I ended up kind of, you know, improvise. I had my reserve parachute that I'd jumped in with, so I had that, and I improvised like a sand dune buggy, and just ended up steaming across the desert and using my reserve parachute in this improvised buggy I'd strapped together with wheels and a few bits of pipe. And I was thinking, I'm going to get stopped by the police doing some aerial reconnaissance.
That'd be great. We got one.
But actually, it worked for a few miles, and then I took a monumental wipeout. Almost broke a leg, and the kind of suddenly wasn't such a smart idea. But
that
for the few
awesome.
Miles, it was cool.
I can't wait. All right, Man vs. Wild returns for a new season in February. The Chain of Adventure web series can be seen either in commercials on TV or longer versions at youtube.com/degreeman. It all sounds like so much fun. I know that it's a lot of work for you, Bear, but we very much enjoy watching it. We're so glad that there's somebody out there doing what you're doing, and it's not us.
I'm determined just to do an episode like in the garden at home, you know.
Right. Well, can you try to stay alive till the next time we can have you on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Oh, you bet. It's always fun to be with you guys.
Thanks, man.
Tickets go on sale today at noon for night number one of the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Today at noon. Go to krock.com for the details. It is 6:53.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That's a pretty manly hour, by the way, just behind us with Tanner Faust from Top Gear and then Bear Grylls from Man vs. Wild coming in here. It's time to bring some estrogen to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Ralph Garman joins us.
How?
For the showbiz beat.
You.
I mean, let's face it, compared to those guys, Ralph, even you have to admit.
Well, here's the thing. I am very particular about the activities in which I engage that can possibly endanger my life and or health.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I would never be in a position to compare myself with those gentlemen.
That's why I found it funny that Bean was telling about the phone app that can save him wherever he is, whatever.
So I can download that?
What
so
other situations he might be in?
Oh. Bean is very passionate about things he will never do.
How can I save my life
to buy
in my living
loco.
Room?
He wants to get the Bear Grylls app. He's like a legless man buying running shoes, this guy. It's like he's got a house full of Air Jordans and no feet.
Are you suggesting I have a rich fantasy life?
Yes. And that's the only life you have.
It's not a suggestion. That is the real deal, Neil.
That's science. I'm so jealous of guys like Stephen Hawking that don't ever have to move. I wish I could be like him.
Yeah. But if you were Stephen Hawking, you would buy like tap shoes and, you know, strange things for a man like you to have. Hey, I want to do some breaking news here. I was getting a lot of emails from folks because, you know, Kevin Smith and I do this podcast out of his theater on Santa Monica. Thank you. And so it's only a 50-seat theater, and a lot of people say, you know, they can't buy tickets. We've been lucky enough to sell out all the shows. And so we are moving up. We're moving up to the big time. Moving on up.
To the east side?
To the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We are taking the show. All right, I think we've established this is breaking news. We're taking the show to Universal City Walk.
Wow.
Just out in the middle of the City Walk?
We're just going to be street performers. Yes. We're going to put a hat out and just do comedy there by the fountains.
Do I have to guess which cup the ball is under? How does this work? What are you doing?
You have to find the Queen of Hearts. And if you do, you win some money.
Ralph juggles, and Kevin Smith plays this on his guitar.
We were invited by the John Lovitz Comedy Club up there at Universal City Walk to come be their house band, so to speak, every Friday night at 8 o'clock.
No kidding.
We're going to be doing our show at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Nice. So it's official. It just happened this week. We're starting Friday after Thanksgiving. Every Friday, starting the Friday after Thanksgiving at 8 o'clock, we're going to be doing 90 minutes of hilarious showbiz beat-type comedy. So
no Smodcastle for Babylon, then?
Not anymore, no.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, we're moving out of that place and
dump.
Going to a new place. And I'll tell you, the comedy club is really impressive. It's got three different layers, and it's got a bar on each layer and great food and stuff. Because people were getting cranky because I would get loaded during the podcast.
I would drink copious amounts of Jack Daniels, and there was no booze allowed in that theater.
They couldn't.
So they're sitting there being dry.
Yeah.
So now everyone can drink and join in on the fun and stuff.
I've been to that comedy club, and are they going to love the quality of you and Kevin Smith? Wow, are they going to love it. Man, is that. That's like we're... People go for the first time, and it's brutal.
It is. It's
a
new club.
You two are going to be the kings.
It's a new club, so it's hard to get, you know, big name acts there because we live in a town, Los Angeles, where there's a lot of comedy clubs around. So we hope to be the highlight.
They've never had a one. You're going to be a 10.
Well, we're looking forward to it. So if you want to go, the John, J-O-N, lovitzcomedyclub.com is the website, and then just click on Hollywood Babylon on the calendar there, and you can buy your tickets there. So,
well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cares.
We're very excited. It's a big room. It's going to be like real-time entertainers and stuff. I'm very excited. Well, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Johnny Depp's got big plans, too. He's moving
on up. Asshole.
Oh, come on. It's Johnny Depp. Apparently, he is taking his massive fortune off his role as Captain Jack Sparrow, and he is in talks, according to AbsoluteNow.com, to open a Pirates of the Caribbean-themed water park in the Bahamas.
Well, it sounds like that would be a Disney-owned property, wouldn't it?
Sure does.
Maybe he's going to go into business with them.
Hmm.
He needs the money.
I'm sure they want to keep him happy, and I'm sure they'll work out a deal with him, but he's got plans for a themed water park in the Bahamas.
Huh.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
They do it right.
Perfect weather all year round.
Exactly.
Huh. Interesting.
So, Tom Cruise continues to be considered one of the nicest guys in the world. Yeah, sure.
Asshole.
Until he pulls up, until he pops his head and there's a lizard underneath it. Telling you, something's up with that dude. He treated the entire cast and crew of Mission Impossible 4 that he's currently working on to a day of go-kart racing. Go-kart racing.
Yeah. I'm down with that. That sounds fun.
That does sound fun, doesn't it? 75 people came out to a go-kart track in Dubai, where they're currently filming. And then he treated everyone to lunch from Fatburger. Do they have Fatburger in Dubai?
Apparently they
do.
So.
Yes, they do. That sounds like a great day.
Unless he flew him back to the States for the Fatburger.
I feel so bad for Tom Cruise because, you know, this is the 400th story you've told about him doing something great for other people. And anybody else, we would go, wow, that's a great guy. Tom Cruise, you go, what's he up to? What's the angle here? What's he hiding?
Exactly.
It's weird.
Something
I don't know why. I feel
terrible.
I do. I feel bad about that. We ought to just give the guy credit for being a good guy.
Because of that time he chained that chick up at that boat in Long Beach, remember? And was trying to deprogram her and wouldn't let her out and just...
I don't know what you're referring
gave
to.
Gave her vitamins and exercise.
If I did,
and,
I could help.
And tried to get her clear. Something insidious there, that's all. Omar's going to be so sad that he's retired his Glee cap.
He's done. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
I know. Entertainment Weekly has announced that the post-Super Bowl episode of Glee is going to be their Michael Jackson Thriller episode. Come on!
Wow.
Yeah! Thriller!
Let me break it down for you. Nobody cares!
February 6th will be the episode.
And then right there, you're out of words?
Exactly. So, you got that looking forward to. Also, they're planning an Elton John episode. So it just gets better for Omar.
Wow.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Comedian Kevin Nealon, 57 years old today. Oscar Nunez, who plays Oscar on The Office, is 52. By the way, there was a rumor going around that Tim Allen was in talks to take over as the boss on The Office.
Right.
Which gave me the cold sweats.
Same here.
But apparently that was just a rumor and it's not going to happen.
Oh,
so
right,
we found that out today, which is good news. Elizabeth Perkins turns 50. Kirk Hammett of Metallica celebrates his 48th birthday. Owen Wilson is 42. Mike Epps is 40. Chloe Sevigny is 36 years old today. Fabulous. Rapper Fabulous, I guess, is the proper way to say it. Fabulous.
Well, you know, you don't say, oh, it's just fabulous.
Fabulous.
Yeah, that's
Fabulous.
It. Fabulous.
I think
it.
It's Fabulous.
Yeah.
I had Fabulous once, and then I got some penicillin and cleared right up. He is 31. And Mike Jones, speaking of rappers, is 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That's right. Noon today is when you can buy your tickets. The lineup for night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas, if you've missed it so far. And where you been, by the way? We're here giving it to you. Pay attention. Smashing Pumpkins, Social Distortion, My Chemical Romance, Bad Religion, Jimmy Eat World, Cake, A Day to Remember, Dirty Heads, Amberlin, and Switchfoot. That's all on night number one. Tickets go on sale today at noon. And then same deal tomorrow for night number two, featuring that band we just heard, Black Keys. That's tomorrow at noon again. Get all the details at the website. Ralph Garman is here, ladies and gentlemen. Hit it, Steve, first of all, by the way. It's time for an update on the most wonderful time of the year as we prepare to search for this double December 2011.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Big ones.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
We are about halfway through the application process time window. That's probably a bad way to say that.
No,
but,
perfect. Perfect. Doc
you
Brown.
Got,
very clear.
You have a week to apply to be Miss Double
December
20th. The application
time window, Mark.
We kicked it off on Monday, and it ends at the end of our show this coming Monday. And that's how you enter to be Miss Double December 2011. And, Ralph, you have been kind of taking a look, checking out the entries. How are we doing so far?
Listen, fellas, let me tell you a little something.
Yes.
In past years, we have had a situation.
The situation was never a part of this.
Where we've, let's say, had not, perhaps a dearth of qualified entries. Where we had to sort of scrape together the final 10 that we put up on the website for people to vote on. It hasn't always been a bumper crop.
All right.
This year, bar none, is the absolute greatest collection of entries we've ever had.
Fantastic.
From this W.
Giant size cans.
This is great news.
This is going to be quite the competition this year. And I encourage all ladies out there who believe they're qualified to absolutely still enter, because it really is going to be the best Miss Double December pageant ever, in my opinion. It's a remarkable batch of beautiful, lovely, talented ladies who have large bosoms. And
that's part of it?
Yes.
Huh.
And also seem to be very smart and funny. And, you know, we every year on the website when we take your entries, we put 5 questions up there just to see what your personality is like, how you respond to them, what you're right. So we get a sense of whether you're fun and smart or funny or any of that kind of stuff, because that kind of stuff happens to help when we do the live show. And whoever we choose, we have to spend a year with that person. So it's nice to know a little something
about
them.
They go to all of our shows. They'll go to both nights of Acoustic Christmas and the Weenie Roast, the singles parties, April Foolishness, all that stuff.
So it's just a great batch this year. Beautiful, beautiful women. Great photos being turned in. We ask you to send us a couple pictures of yourself so we can take a look and see what you look like. Because after all, it is a spokeswoman competition.
Right. It's because we're not good looking. So when we go out, we need to have a diversion. We need
something to distract people.
Yes. Hey, she's hot.
Look over there. It's like magician.
Right. Yeah.
We ask you not to send any crappy or low quality pictures in, because it makes it very difficult for us. But a lot of girls have some excellent, excellent photos, some professional photos that are turning up this year.
Excellent.
But I was most impressed by some of the answers to our questions. I asked 5 questions of the girls on the website, and here's some of the answers. This is from Christine, who is just, Christine's something else. Here are some of the questions that I asked the girls to respond to. If you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? Christine answered, "I Know Why the Caged Whore Sings."
All right.
You rarely get a Maya Angelou reference in Miss Double December application. That's very funny.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why? Christine says, "Retractable bone claws, so I could claw off your face."
Whoa.
A little attitude. I like that.
Wow.
If you're a porn star, I asked the girls, what would be your made-up stage name? Christine suggests Sally Swallows would be hers.
I don't understand that one.
I'm sure you don't. Hmm. I asked them if there was a new dessert named after you, what delicious ingredients would be in that dessert?
Right.
Kevin, you have any suggestions?
Did you get any interesting ones?
I did. This one also from Christine. Oh. A red velvet cupcake mix made with bourbon and vanilla frosting sprinkled with atomic fireballs and warheads.
That sounds awesome.
Sounds
wow.
Awesome.
I want that right
I
now.
Love
me
that.
Too. And then the final question is, as a finalist, if you're selected, you'll have to perform a talent in our talent competition. What's your talent? Christine says she can untwist 2 beer bottle caps with her boobs.
Okay. All right.
At the same time.
At the same time.
That's a gift.
Huh.
She is something else.
All right.
There are a lot of factors involved in who gets selected as Miss Double December. This is the narrowing down process. This is the application time window, is what I've been told.
Sure.
And you have until the end of our show on Monday to get your entry in through KevinAndBean.com. And then from there, we whittle it down to 10, put them up at the website, and then the listeners get a chance to weigh in and vote online as to who they want to win. That is going to be a portion of their score. And then we do a live show every year down at our friends with the Slide Bar in downtown Fullerton, California. And that is going to be a live broadcast and webcast, by the way. And that's where some of this other stuff that Ralph was talking about will also come into play, as you get a chance to demonstrate that talent on stage for the people, and you get a chance to be interviewed and celebrity judges and the whole deal. It turns out to be a great night, and then at the end of it, someone will be crowned Miss Double December 2011 and will receive the crown, as Kevin so delicately put it yesterday, through the spit
it's
of Miss Double
spit.
December 2010.
It's in a gentle kiss.
Yeah, that's
it's
much better. A gentle kiss, exactly. Thank but great entry so far. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm looking forward to it.
Melissa entered. She's from Corona. Her occupation? Stripper, by the way.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
If selected to perform in the talent competition, what would your talent be? I'm not sure exactly how to explain this, but let's say you had a let's say you went to Subway and you got a foot-long sandwich there.
Right.
Melissa claims she could ingest the entire foot-long without having to bite any of it off. She could swallow that entire foot-long.
Wow.
And is willing to demonstrate that on stage for us.
Hello. She has a healthy appetite.
Yes, and a
talent.
Loose throat.
Yes.
Apparently. Catherine says, if you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? Tater Tots. I think she's just going after Bean. I think she's going after the Bean.
Ridiculous.
Julie says...
Bean doesn't get a vote. You people should know that by now.
Julie says, if she was a porn star, her made-up... This is my favorite question, because we're getting some very creative answers. Julie says she's actually thought a lot about the made-up porn star name.
Okay.
She said she has settled on Autumn Electra.
Autumn Electra.
That's pretty good.
I like
porn
it.
Porn star name. Linda says hers would be Buffy Normandy. Kind of gives me a mind of World War II.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if
strange.
I like that or not. Nicolette. Nicolette is very attractive, by the way.
Yeah.
Her porn star name would be Ivana Hump.
Sure.
Ivana Hump.
See?
And her talent is stand-up bass. She plays the stand-up bass.
Really?
Okay. No.
What do you mean, no?
Yeah, what do we'll you mean, see. No?
Yeah, right. Yeah, what is she, Miss Bass? Miss Playing Bass? Why do you automatically dismiss that?
No way. Not ever.
Because electric bass is always handsome black guys, and stand-up bass is Mexican dudes with pompadours. That's it.
Wow. Is that the only way it works?
Who knew? The rules. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Ralph, but if people are hearing about this competition for the first time, obviously they should enter. Close of our show on Monday is the deadline. Any other advice you can give now that you've had a chance to kind of size up what their competition is going to be?
I'll tell you, your photo is what it is. You look like what you look like. That's not much you can do about it. But the entries that are really catching our attention are the people who are putting some time and energy into the answers to the questions, because it really does show us something about your personality. It really gives you a leg up.
We have some good photos from cell phones, but they're not all good. If it's not a good picture, I'd suggest not sending it. Maybe wait a half a day and get
a friend to take an
actual picture.
Yeah.
And then there's the other ones where they just show from their forehead up, and that doesn't help anyone really. So we shouldn't have to say these things, but
think beauty pageant and take a picture that's according.
It's Miss Double December. You can go to kevinandbean.com for more.
Robin Hood, 310 to Yuma, Cinderella Man, Master and Commander, Beautiful Mind, Gladiator, The Insider. What an actor, man. Russell Crowe joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. First though, time for the Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Can we requisition a new theme for 2011?
No, absolutely not.
Isn't it time to retire that?
That's a classic.
Come on. We're not working in the Old West. What's going on here? Let it go.
Fine. We can get a new theme song for Internet Roundup if you make it.
There you go.
Nice, Mike.
All right, I guess we'll be living with that one for a while then.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can check out all these videos. They're our favorites right now on the Internet Roundup. There's Jersey Shore doing the doogie. There's Jersey Shore doing We Speak No Americano.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Yes. I know that it's a visual. You got to go and look, and it's three of the guys from the Jersey Shore cast who basically are just dancing on a webcam to these songs. What's the point of that? Like, why are they doing that? Does Pauly D not get enough FaceTime that he's got to be putting videos of himself dancing on the internet?
Yeah, I don't think any of them get enough.
Not
that.
To them.
Not enough attention.
Yeah.
Right. That's why they do it. Conan O'Brien's commercial for black people is very funny.
Very funny.
You have to watch that. But what I have now is Harry Potter and the Remix of Death. And this takes all of the Harry Potter movies and kind of encapsulates it in like a 5-minute piece and pulls it, you know, right up to current day.
That's perfect.
Harry Potter. You're Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
No way.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Did I mention it was done by Mike Realm? I think I forgot that part.
Nice.
Yeah, he does excellent work. I mean, he does an amazing job with all of his remixes. He's got a great YouTube channel, but we did put that one up. And, you know, it's been so long since the last Harry Potter movie that I bet some people have kind of forgotten where the story is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually kind of very useful to kind of give you some backstory before you head out this weekend to go see the new one.
This next one may be useful as well, as maybe you didn't realize what kind of movie Harry Potter was.
He wanted me.
Harry's very pretty.
Dumbledore's asked me to get to know him.
Get to know him?
This is something I desire very dearly.
I think he's got a bit more than friendship on his mind. What is it? I don't know, but I don't think it's pumpkin juice.
Most people vomit the first time.
So, you see what's going on there.
They took every line that could possibly be misconstrued and turned it into something filthy.
It's called Harry Potter and the Homoerotic Subtext.
Nice.
I don't know if you watch Saturday Night Live, but they had the Arcade Fire on.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the guy's name that does all the funny stuff? Sandberg?
Andy Sandberg.
Yes.
He does those cartoon shorts and whatnot. And he's great. Very funny.
He's talking to the UN delegation, and he's asking them, what was that? Well, he's basically asking them about all the problems in the world and what they're doing about it.
Darfur? What are you guys doing? But dancing? That'll set your whole mind and body free. So,
this Arcade Fire.
You gotta shake it off and dance.
It's so bizarre.
It is
so
really bizarre. Weird. And that's what I like about him. What you like about him is you look at that and you go, how did you ever come up with this?
Yeah, he's creative.
But dancing your troubles away, really. I mean, that's what we all do, don't we? Jimmy Kimmel Live this week, an unnecessary censorship. The beeps are put in. They don't need to be because they're not saying words that are beepable.
Governor-elect Jerry Brown has been by outgoing Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Mr. Brown says, quote, it's as bad as you can imagine.
Hey, you want to f*** me?
What do you want the American people to know that being Speaker of the House would mean to you?
I'm a regular guy with big
Give a cheer for the jerkers!
Yeah, that's none of that needed to be beeped. See, because those weren't curse words. That's but it sounds funny. Worse when
it
they beep it.
It does.
Now I'm glad I unfriended Jimmy yesterday.
The Gregory Brothers auto-tuned the news. They did The Rent Is Too Damn High. I mean, we may be a little late on this one, but The Rent Is Too Damn High was a dude that was running for governor of New York.
That's right.
And his whole thing was...
Some say I'm a one inch mechanic, but it all boiled down to one thing. Rent is too damn high. The people I'm here to represent can't afford to pay the rent, because rent is too damn high.
Yeah.
I love the Gregory Brothers. Auto-tune the news. They're so good.
Now, I miss George W. Bush. I'm going to say it out loud. I'm going to say that because he's the political version of me. He can't say anything right. And there was a recent thing where he was coming out promoting his book, and he said Kanye West saying that he doesn't like black people was the low point of his administration, and they asked Kanye about it, and Kanye said he apologized, and then they asked George Bush about it, if he accepts his apology, and he said yes. And the Gregory Brothers auto-tuned that whole thing.
Oh, really?
And please listen to Kanye West as George Bush says it, which is Conway.
Forgive Kanye. I love Conway. You forgive Kanye. I love Conway.
I came here to man up to mistakes that I made. I came here to say I'm grown as a person. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a hater. I love Conway. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not a hater. I love Conway.
He likes Conway, people.
Oh, my God.
Let's give him a break. He loves Conway.
Where's Matt Lauer's Peace Prize for bringing those two together? By the way, to interview both of them in the same week and get them to talk about each other and find common ground. And now they're friends.
It's easy to find common ground if you don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good
point. He's Conway. Who the hell's that? And recently, Jimmy Fallon, he likes to sing. I don't know if you know that or not about him.
I might have heard that.
He does a pretty good Neil Young impression. And Neil, of course, one of the worst singers of all time.
How dare you?
But he was doing maybe one of the most popular songs in the world right now in Whip My Hair.
That's the little Willow Smith song. She was 9 when she recorded it. She's 10 now, but it's a huge hit. We've been making fun of it for a long time, and here's what it sounds like. And you're thinking, that doesn't necessarily lend itself to a Neil Young version of the song, but somehow Jimmy manages to pull it off.
Yeah, he does it as Neil Young, and then I kid you not, you're going to have to watch the clip to see the real Bruce Springsteen, the boss, comes out and helps him sing the song.
All my ladies, if you feel me,
whip your head.
how do you call up Bruce Springsteen and go, look, dude, I need a favor. We're going to sing Whip Your Hair.
Right, I know.
I'm in.
Because let's face it, no one loves Bruce Springsteen more than I do, but he's not a clown.
He's not a clown.
He's not nonsense. He's not hijinks. He's not hilarious. I mean, he's got an okay sense of humor, but you rarely see him do something this that makes him look like this much of a doofus.
Well, he probably identifies with the lyrics quite well.
Of whipping his hair back and forth?
Because he whips it too.
It's hilarious, though, and you got to check it out in all these other videos too at the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It is 7:42. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dr. Drew every Thursday.
Yep.
How are you, Drew?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are good.
We hear you're at the airport today. Is that true?
I am. I'm heading to the lovely city of Milwaukee to speak at Marquette University.
Have you been felt up yet, or is that still in your future?
Have I been what?
Felt up by the TSA.
Have you gone through security?
That's coming.
No, but I'll have my video camera ready.
Yeah.
If anything goes wild.
Don't touch my junk!
Wouldn't it be awesome if Dr. Drew threw a huge tantrum at the airport and it became a big viral video of him screaming at TSA? Oh my God, I would love it so much.
Like a little,
I'll see what I can do.
Like a little girl. I mean, you really just got to let it go, Doctor.
All right, two questions for you, Doctor, and then we'll let you hustle on down through security. Number one is: did you see the Dr. Drew shout out on 30 Rock last week? And if so, what did you think?
I did. I felt like I finally arrived. It was the greatest moment of my life.
This is so hilarious. It's a scene where Alec Baldwin is on with Jane Krakowski, and she declares at one point, almost out of the blue,
Dr. Drew called me unfixable.
She seems so pleased with herself about that, and I thought, how crazy is it that Dr. Drew is being talked about on Twitter? Did your pager, your buzzer, your Twitter, everything just start blowing up?
Twitter lit up, but mostly I have such huge respect for Tina Fey, just to have her write my name.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a great honor. If you ever met her, she is wonderful, and she's so smart. And so funny. So that was the reason I thought I was so honored by it.
Yeah.
And the other thing we wanted to ask you about is, Psycho Mike, what's the deal? Is Dr. Drew furious at you on Loveline? Is there some sort of a feud here over the fatties, or what's going on?
Oh, no. I mean, there couldn't be. In fact, having him on from the airport just makes me sad knowing that he's not going to be around me tonight. Because he's my sweet lover. And when we're apart, it hurts.
Right.
But
too late, Drew.
You could talk about gay sex and not get as gay as Dr. Drew and I get off the air during Loveline, because all we talk about is pumping iron and dieting.
Really?
Oh, it is so bad. I mean, it's like bathhouse in there. I mean,
do you oil each other up?
Practically. It's getting to the point where we're comparing different types of proteins and digestion rates.
Wow.
And amino acid breakdowns.
Literally, we get on the internet and go to the medical literature and have arguments about the breakdown of branched chain amino acids.
Wow.
Mind you, remember now, Mike was tearing me down, right? Remember, he was taking me back to my 14-year-old self.
Right.
Suddenly, I feel like this detour has put us in a good place. Mind you, it's a intimate place. Deeply intimate.
Super intimate, yes.
But it's a productive place. And it's fueling both of our body dysmorphias and obsessive-compulsive disorders. So we'll be hospitalized together soon enough.
Oh, that's going to be sweet.
You guys get to share a room or a bed. Dr. Drew has always been buff. You've always been able to look at Dr. Drew and go, there's a guy that's in really, really good shape. But, I mean, are you a serious gym rat? Is that part of something that you manage to work in every day, Doctor?
You know what? My dream always was to have a gym in my home, and I finally achieved that. And when I did that, I started working out more regularly. And so it's like 30 or 40 minutes every day. It's part of my life. And then with Mike, you know, Mike's obsessive about this stuff. I sort of got infected by him, and he's very coy. You know, he goes, why don't you try this? And then I was in. It was bad.
That's how it starts, man. Yeah. They just give you a little free.
First dose for free.
That's right. Next thing you know.
How about your diet? Because Mike is a guy who won't eat anything if it tastes good. Is that? Do you have the same prescription at home?
Well, he's got me mostly on powdered supplements and egg whites. That's
you're going to become a very angry man if you keep following his plan.
It is no way to live.
That's where we went hard left. That's where we got off the rail, is that he got me going. Because I'm usually not obsessional about diet. But he got me thinking about that.
He's ruining you.
He's never looked better, though. His performance is through the roof. And we're this close to getting the vomitorium built at the Loveline Studios. That's my dream. He wants the home gym. I want the vomitorium.
Psycho Mike is the guy, though, who's just giving you the stink eye every time you're trying to enjoy a chocolate sundae. You know what I mean? It's just no fun to be around a guy like that. Go ahead and eat what you want, Dr. Drew, and then just work it off later. That's my advice.
Well, that's what I used to do, frankly. But now he'll go, why don't you try a little bit of this? Try a little powder on this. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to Trader Joe's. Let's go.
All right. Love Line airs 5 nights a week all across this great land of ours. We won't get to talk to Dr. Drew next week because Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving. But then we'll pick up right where we left off the week following, which is going to be right about the time of the Celebrity Rehab premiere on VH1, which Dr. Drew says
it'll be precisely that time. It'll going to come in there on a Wednesday morning, the night that the show airs, first show airs.
Great.
And it is a super duper intense season. I haven't seen it actually, but the people that are watching it are saying this is the one that, and I got to tell
Fantastic.
You, this group really grabbed on to treatment and they needed a lot of it. So
can't wait. All right, Dr. Drew, head on out to security, man. Enjoy the being felt up by the TSA. Have a great time in Wisconsin and a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you when we all get back.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, they found Russell Crowe, by the way. He will be joining us coming up after the top of the hour. Apparently, he was missing. So that's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here for a Thursday Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I may be retiring from the Showbiz Beat.
Why?
Because sometimes you have to recognize your limitations.
Right.
And you have to recognize when others can probably do the job better than you can.
I would have given up a long, long, long time ago if that's the case.
I know. Well, you have no choice.
Okay.
But I was looking at our website. And I ran across Psycho Mike's interview with Jay Leno. And I said, this is the guy who should be handling the entertainment and the showbiz news. Because the way Psycho Mike handled this interview with Jay Leno at the car show, the LA car show, was so impressive. I said, he really knows how to dig deep. He knows how to get the best out of people in a celebrity interview.
You know, he downplays it. He doesn't really say much about it.
I didn't even know he interviewed Jay Leno. They were talking about cars being green technology.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this question, and I think you realize that Mike should be the celebrity reporter.
Now, can they take anything away technologically from that and apply it to cars that could maybe make something that's performance-wise is up there and also ecologically sound?
And what was the question? What was that?
That's a moment with Mike.
Oh, my God.
Wow, indeed.
Couldn't even follow that.
Let me hear that one more time. You've got to hear that question one more time.
You kidding? Play it all
now, day? Can they take anything away technologically from that and apply it to cars that could maybe make something that's performance-wise is up there and also ecologically sound?
And what was the question? What was that?
I'm with Jay on this one.
Wow.
That was like the South Dakota answering about the maps.
That was sweet.
Mike, what were you trying to ask? I still don't know.
He drove in a jet-powered car. And I did not know I was going to be interviewing Jay Leno, so I wasn't exactly prepared. I just walked right up and started talking to him. And what I meant to say was, can we take anything away from? He had just come on the heels of letting me know that this car was never going to make it to the streets. There's nothing practical about
10.
This car. So I said, "Well, can we take anything away from this car? The technology in it that could, you know, maybe be applied to cars that are practical, you know, for the road."
I got you.
I still don't understand the question, but
I was entertained by that.
That's
we got a moment with Mike.
I could have worded it.
No, I was going as far as say that was Kevin-esque.
Well, you don't have to insult the man.
I'm just saying. I told you yesterday they're looking to do a new version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the spy series from the 60s, put it up on the big screen.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the Hollywood Reporter says George Clooney's in talks to play Napoleon Solo, the one of the main spies in The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay, now I'm in.
He'd be like an American James Bond. How long have we waited finally for him to pull that trigger?
Right. Quite some time.
Yes. No word yet on who would be Ilya Kuryakin, his Russian counterpart, but it has to be someone of equal or similar stature to him. You gotta get a Brad Pitt or somebody like that in there. Can't just hire, you know, Kevin James.
Well,
put him up there.
Andy Macho Man Savage.
That's the ticket right there. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Kevin Nealon is 57 years old today. Oscar Nunez from The Office turns 52. He's very funny on that show.
He's good.
Mm, as the gay guy Oscar on that show. Elizabeth Perkins, 50 years old today. Kirk Hammett of Metallica, 48 years old today. Is that kid okay? Does anybody know if that kid's okay from that video?
No.
That poor little girl dressed as Snow White standing by the side of the stage, and he's kicking this giant inflatable, looks like one of those yoga balls, you know, one of those back bender balls. And he doesn't see the kid behind it because it's a giant ball.
And those are pretty heavy to begin with.
Thick gauge plastic balls, and he just boots this thing and pegs this girl right in the face. And she does like a three gainer backwards off the stage into the soundboard. And initially I was laughing, but my second thought was, being a new parent, kid's dead.
He wrecks her.
He wrecks her.
He does wreck her.
I just need to know that child's all right before I can really enjoy that video anymore.
Wow.
So if anybody has an update on...
Let's just say she's fine, and that way we can enjoy it.
I need to know the truth.
But she died happy rocking out on the Metallica concert.
True.
I mean, she had a short but fast
life.
She's
like three. What is she even doing there?
You're on the front of the stage
right.
of Metallica.
Why is she there?
If you're a Metallica fan, that's how you want to go.
She's not a Metallica fan. She's three. She's an Elmo fan. Somebody propped her up there inappropriately.
I heard that she lost interest in the band after Master of Puppets. She thought everything has been weak since then.
Owen Wilson's 42 today. Mike Epps is 40. Chloe Sevigny is 36 years old. Stop, seriously.
Yeah,
I'm
serious.
Stop
with so that. Sexy. Yeah, so sexy.
That's not for you.
And she,
that's
and
for
she
the
looks
whole
like
show.
And she looks like she does stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Looks like she does meth.
Yeah.
That's what she looks like. Fabulous is 31 years old. Mike Jones is 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk.
Hey, guys. The Insider. Never crossed my mind not to honor my agreement. Me? Well, you.
Ronald Williamson's representation clearly misstated what is common language within the company. We are in the nicotine delivery business.
Cinderella man.
Come on, Mr. Johnson. No contest? I broke my hand. Okay? It's legit. Don't see me crying about it. I didn't always lose. I won't always lose again. I can still fight.
What do you got to say to your fans today, Jimmy?
I guess I'm grateful for the opportunity. I know that these days not everybody gets a second chance.
A beautiful mind.
You see, I am crazy. I take the new medications, but I still see things that are not here. I just choose not to acknowledge them.
American gangster.
I got a little bit of powder. You're going to need more than that, Richie.
I got possession, supply, conspiracy. Bribing a law officer. I got people who attest to seeing you killing cold blood.
Robin Hood.
Every Englishman's home is his castle. What we would ask, Your Majesty, is liberty. Liberty by law.
Gladiator.
At my signal, unleash hell.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance.
As I think you can tell, we're big fans. It's a major event at the movies when Russell Crowe comes out with a new one. And tomorrow is that day. It's called The Next 3 Days. It opens everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Crowe on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Crowe. Welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. I hope you didn't mind. Sometimes when we put together an intro like that for our guests, they feel like they're at their own funerals. It's a little, bit more like an obit package. But, man, what a body of work. It's a great thrill to talk to you.
Thank you, man. I'm surprised that you would go to that effort and flattered.
Next 3 Days, not the kind of movie that has a title that automatically tells people what's going on. What's this one all about?
Well, this is about a family that live in Pittsburgh. It's a husband and a wife and their little son. And everything's going along fine for them. They're sitting at breakfast one morning. There's a knock on the door. The police burst in and arrest the wife for murder. Over the process of 3 years of appeals and a bunch of circumstantial evidence, she's convicted of murder and imprisoned for 20 years. And so her husband, who has an unshakable belief in her innocence, he's an English professor at a community college, so he does the thing that is available to him. He goes to the library and gets out some books and gets on the computer and starts researching the question, how you go about breaking somebody that you love out of jail.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Now, a guy like you, Russell, who has his pick of virtually every movie that comes down the pipeline, I imagine, there's got to be something really special in a film for you to decide to log on to. What was it that was different about this that made you think, yeah, I got to do it?
Well, way back when I was a young fella, I made a deal with the film gods, you know, to only do the things that turn me on. And that I, you know, when I'm reading the script, if I see the white light or feel the goosebumps on my skin or whatever, then that's the thing that I have to do. And it's a beautifully written script. It's by Paul Haggis, written and directed by Paul Haggis, who won a couple of Academy Awards for Crash.
Right.
And it really was a compelling read, just the same way that when you read a great book and you can't put it down, you know. That's the thing that I look for in a script.
Now, in your research for how a normal guy can break somebody out of, was it maximum security prison?
Yeah, well, just if you want to do it yourself, Google how to break out of
right.
jail.
I mean, it really can't be.
There'll be a few notes for you.
But it's got to be kind of everything people have tried, but most of it doesn't work, right?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it. I'm not sort of advocating that you should go and do it. But within our story, it's really the only thing left to him, you know. And all the people around him believe, because of the circumstantial evidence, that his wife is guilty. But he has this firm thing inside him where he knows the person that he married is not capable of doing what people say she's done.
One of the things I love in a story, and it sounds like your movie, Russell, has this in spades, is the every guy who then has to figure out a way to beat an entire system that is stacked against him. And you're right. You got to have an unshakable belief. You got to be a very smart guy to be able to figure out something like that. But I mean, you really, I think moviegoers identify with somebody like that, because you always feel like there's so many things working against you, and you got to push back sometimes. And that's, that sounds like a great premise for this film.
Well, that's the thing that happens with the audience with this movie. From the first few minutes, they start to ask themselves the question, what would I do in this situation, you know? And that is the key to it. That's the key to why it engages you so much. And it's one of those films that really does wrap itself around your insides. You know, we had a screening in New York last week, and when, you know, they're watching him make the plan, but they don't see everything that he's doing necessarily, or they don't understand everything that he's doing, how the pieces fit together. And when he begins to unveil his plan, the oohs and ahs and the reactions from the audience are pretty big. You know, I mean, English professor in Pittsburgh, you don't expect him to take this sort of turn. But
right.
There is a madness that grows inside him because he watches his wife disintegrate, watches her become suicidal, watches the distance grow between her and her son. And he just can't stand that. He just feels it's so unfair. So the question of legality and illegality dissipates in his mind, and what he's looking for is a form of justice.
Like you couldn't tell, this is the voice of actor Russell Crowe on The Kevin Bean Show, talking about his film The Next 3 Days. It opens everywhere tomorrow. Starring a real crush of The Kevin Bean Show, Elizabeth Banks, by the way, who I love so much. I'm so happy that she's in this movie. I saw you on with Craig Ferguson this week, and you talked about how everything is made better if you add naked chicks to it. Did you follow your own advice for The Next 3 Days?
Well, look, on The Craig Ferguson Show, it's late at night. You know, you get away with things that you can't talk about in the morning.
Right, know? We're just saying you're going to hold to your promise.
I thought you were on to something, and I thought, now the guy's talking my language.
Well, you know, I did say it late at night, but it is, when you examine it, it's not a bad concept.
It is a very, very true concept.
Be, you know, from a female perspective, is everything can be better when you add naked men.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Let's not get crazy.
Oh,
I wish we had more time. I know you're very busy and doing 20 million interviews to promote this movie, but it looks great. It's called The Next 3 Days. Opens up everywhere tomorrow. Russell Crowe, you're always welcome to The Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks a lot for jumping on.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to The Kevin Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead, you know, we've become obsessed lately with that drinking out of cups YouTube viral video. Liam Lynch, the guy who did the video for that, is going to be joining us on tomorrow's show to tell us a little bit about the phenomena of drinking out of cups, because he's an expert. What is he, an expert? Asking questions about the cups?
Yeah, apparently we're really, 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 really late on this one, but what are you going to do? You react to it when you see it.
Dimitri Martin on the show tomorrow. Mike, just for you, how about some Pal tomorrow? Pal Gasol from Los Angeles Lakers on the show.
Woo!
Adam Carolla and so much more. So big, big show tomorrow right here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Right now, let's talk about people who date and then split up and then have to still work together.
Hey.
Ralph did a story yesterday in the showbiz from Us Weekly magazine, and they put out a list of actors and actresses who were dating in real life and then had to keep on having a relationship on television. So not only are they working with these people, they're doing love scenes with these people.
Oh, that's brutal.
And by the way, before we hear this list, and I imagine it is extremely difficult to break up with somebody one night and then have to go in and, you know, potentially be in a love scene with them the next day. Even if your job does not require that level of intimacy, just having to show up every day with your ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, ex-husband, ex-wife, and see them every day and spend 8 hours every day. I mean, that's one reason why a lot of companies say they don't want relationships at work, is because when they do end, and most relationships do end, now you've got tension, now you've got trouble, right?
Yeah, but the truth is, people spend so much time at work, and that's where you meet people. It's impossible not to end up meeting people at work that you're going to date, really.
But it
especially when you've got a good looking group like us that you're working
with.
That's
right.
With.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, you have your pick.
I've had my pick, trust me.
Wait, you've already made it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
And had them.
The list from Us Weekly magazine starts, of course, with Blake Lively and Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Now, which one's the girl?
That would be Penn.
Okay. Penn. Oh, I can't tell.
Johnny Galecki and Kaylee Cuoco from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, boy. By the way, and that would hurt a lot because she's so unbelievably hot. And it's bad enough that now you guys aren't going out anymore. Now, every single day, you have to be reminded of who you're not having sex with when you show up at the set and you see her.
And you're him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Maybe it's not as extreme as this. You don't have to do love scenes with them. But you do have to work with somebody that you formerly dated and had sex with. Jennifer Morrison and Jesse Spencer on House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they both played doctors on the show. They were engaged to be married, and then it broke up. And then for, at least another season after that, they were still on the show all the time, almost always in the same scenes, too. Had to be very tough. Although, if there's one thing we've learned from the years of listening to Ralph do the Showbiz Beat, it's that celebrities are better than we are, and they always part the best of friends.
That's true. That should help.
They still have much love for each other and wish each other happiness.
In this case, that probably helps them that they're better people than us.
Yeah.
Michael Vartan and Jennifer Garner were also, I believe, engaged in real life.
I think you might be right.
And then it got called off and they were still lovers on Alias.
That one was interesting because I think she was married. Remember, she was married to
the guy that they shot.
The guy from that show, right?
And then she started dating Michael Vartan, and there was a whole thing about, like, when did they start dating? So,
and then they broke up, and then they still had to play lovers on the show.
It seems very messy.
I don't know. That seems weird or fun. You know what I mean?
Like, what's fun about
it? It was fun while they were dating.
I think you could torture the person. I think that would be fun.
That's an interesting angle, Kevin.
You know how to get to them.
Wouldn't have been mine.
I'm just saying.
But okay.
So we want to take your calls. You're probably not on a TV show, but you have had to work with somebody that you no longer date. What is that like? Do you are you able to just ignore it and forget about it, or is it something that kind of gets under your fingernails every single day? It drives you crazy. You just can't wait for that other person to quit, or you try to get them fired. What are you trying to do? 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls. Let's try Josh real quick to kind of get us going. He's on line 2 and joins us on the Kevin Devine Show. You dated, you split up, you still had to work together. Hi, Josh. What happened, dude?
I had met this girl at work, started dating. Everything was cool until things didn't go so well. And we ended up breaking up. She was going down the street, and I passed her on the street because she was going too darn slow.
Right.
And, like, the next day, I end up getting called into human resources because she had filed a harassment charge.
Against you for the way you drove your car?
I don't even know why.
I mean, did she say you were trying to run her off the road or something?
They didn't give me the specifics. They just said that they wanted to investigate what was going on. I told them the fill-in of what was going on, and they're all, oh, okay, well, let's just make sure that you stay away from her, and we'll take things from there.
How long did you guys continue to work together after you broke up?
Well, we still work together, and it's been...
You still do today?
3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Is it awkward at all?
No, because I would just ignore her after that, or at least I tried to at first.
Mm-hmm.
And when that didn't work, I made sure that it worked because I took a bunch of voicemails that she had that weren't too flattering towards her.
Nice.
Recorded them to CD and played them in my stall.
this is what happens. This is what we're talking about.
The problem right here.
And listen to Josh. He's like, nah, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's all good now.
No problem. No animosity.
She moved from me to another guy and stuck with him, and I don't have to worry anymore.
All right.
Oh, well, that's good.
Nice.
And we still all work together.
Okay. All right. I suspect Josh is leaving quite a bit out of the story. He sounds pretty sketchy to me. But now you know what we're talking about. You guys still had to work together after you broke up, whether you were married or just dating or whatever. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. We'll take your calls coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's double December time. It's the best time of the year, people.
Yeah.
Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and you can click and you can enter, send in some photos, and you can be Miss Double December 2011. Go to krock.com for all the details. It is 8:36.
Talking about a recent story in Us Weekly magazine, Ralph turned us on to earlier in the week about stars who act together on TV shows. They date, then they break up, and they still have to show up at the office every day. Still got to work with your ex. What must that be like? I imagine there's lots of drama involved in that. 1-800-520-1067 is what we're talking about. We want to hear your stories like that. Let's start with Brian. He's on line one. He has one that kind of takes a weird twist, too. Hey, Brian, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the deal?
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Yeah, basically, man, this has been the worst of the worst. I was with my girlfriend for about 3 years, steady relationship, everything was going good. We decided to work together, waiting tables, until we had to lie about being together.
Hold on one second. Did you at any moment go, hey, maybe this is a bad idea that we work at the same place?
Yes and no. We had currently been working at her family's restaurant. We decided to get a new job because that one wasn't doing so well. So we're like, okay, this is going good. We're working together. Everything's good. We get the new job. And everything's going great until we finally have a mishap. We break up. And because this was a secrecy to get the job, we cannot really admit it, show our feelings. So I have to deal with people hitting on her and taking her out on dates.
Nice.
Bringing roses to work. Meanwhile, I can't admit this.
You can't see anything. Awesome. She wins.
It, overall, she does win. Eventually, she finds another job, moves out, and I just keep the job for a little while, decided to get a new job, and it was over.
Good time.
And, you know, just because you can't see it anymore doesn't mean she's not getting drilled every hour by a different guy better looking than you, right?
That is true, and vice versa.
Exactly. Thank you very much for the call. All right, let's try, wow, we got some really good ones. Let's try Stephanie, by the way. This one's still going on currently. Stephanie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
So you were your ex's boss, is that right? Do I have that right?
Yeah, we worked at a restaurant together at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
And half of my shifts, I was like a shift manager. I was in charge of him, and the other half of the shifts, we had to wait tables next to each other.
Right.
And he was just so mean. He was really mean when we were together, but, you know, once I left him and moved out of the apartment, I mean, it just got that much worse.
But you were still his boss after that?
Oh, yeah, for a good 6 months after we broke up.
That must have just been so nerve-wracking and tense every single day you showed up to work. I mean, you guys just had to be clashing all the time.
It was really terrible. And, of course, being at Disneyland, you have to be really happy and deal with, you know, upset guests and, you know, handle different situations that occur throughout the day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was just always looking to get under my skin and upset me, trying to get me to get myself in trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So it finally ended? Somebody finally left?
Well, I actually requested to move to a different location, to a different restaurant, because he like started threatening to kill himself if I didn't take him back.
Oh, my God. Good times.
And there's there's no killing yourself at Disneyland. Come on.
Yeah, right?
It's just physically not possible.
Yeah. Right. All right. Fantastic. Thank you very much for the story. We appreciate it. Let's try Tony, line 8 on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys used to go out or be married, still had to work together when you broke up. That's the topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tony, what happened to you?
You there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. A couple years ago, I was with this girl. She happened to be my supervisor. At the same time, she also happened to be the big boss's daughter.
So your supervisor and the big boss's daughter. Okay.
Yes. We were together for about a year, year and a half, something like that. She wakes up one morning, realizes that she's coming out of the closet, and she tells me with a girl who also happened to be another supervisor.
All the supervisors at this job are hot. It's happening to them.
So, wow. All right, so now you're showing up to work. She's not dating you anymore, but she's now in a relationship with another woman where you guys work?
Yes, and they were both my supervisors and, you know, the big boss's daughter was the ex.
Yeah. Wow. Now, how did that work out for you? Was that just miserable for you every day?
It was. I liked the job, but it turned into just a fierce battle of, you know, throwing things at each other and yelling at each other.
That doesn't sound fun.
And, yeah, it was gnarly.
Yeah.
All right, one more question. Did they at least let you watch them kiss?
That was what caused the breakup, was I happened to catch them in the act.
But I hope you didn't say anything like it was bad.
Well, I went home and packed her stuff.
Oh, see, you're so close-minded, Tony.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, that's on you, man.
What are you, uptight? Wow. Okay, thanks for the call.
Loosen up a bit.
Let's try Allison. We got time for a couple more. 1-800-520-1067. Ralph's got the showbiz beat straight ahead. Allison, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, yeah, I dated a coworker of mine. We went out a couple of times and then wound up going north or south, however way you want it to go.
South usually is where it goes.
And so then I come back because I had to go into rehab for a short while after that.
I don't know if I can listen to Allison for very much longer.
Okay, go ahead.
I come back and he's dating another coworker.
Sorry, there's people yelling in the hallway.
Everybody's yelling. All right, so he's dating. I don't even care.
Yeah, I can't.
Thank you very much. Sorry.
And I've been working on this. I don't know why won't he go out with me? I wanted to kill myself listening to that story.
That was just so sad. I'm sure Allison is very, very nice.
Allison.
She should not be allowed to make phone calls, though. All right. How about Chad? ahead. Line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Chad. Thanks, Love for Color. What's going on?
Hi, Chad.
Hi, guys. I hope you weren't just laughing at my situation.
No,
not at all. Previous caller. What happened to you, dude?
We will now, but we weren't then.
Yeah, absolutely. I was working in a restaurant. Seems like that seems to be the forbidden place.
Sure.
And I was a bartender, and this was a server, and we started going out, and lo and behold, we ended up having a child together.
All right.
Or
so I thought. One day, right when I was leaving to work, I got a paternity test in the mail, and I checked it out and found out I was not, in fact, the father.
What?
Yeah, why did you have a paternity test?
Yeah.
Why did you have a paternity test?
Because Maury Povich came in for lunch one day and insisted on it. That's why.
Well, there was a little bit of question and whatnot, and just to be sure that the rest of my life wasn't going to be with someone that wasn't my child and so on and so forth, we just decided to do it. She was kind of involved in it.
I agree. First of all, they're no good unless they're blood related. There's no way to love a kid otherwise. But secondly, no, I'm with Chad on that. Seriously, throw them out. But did you continue to work together, and then she went on to have this this other man's baby, and you still had to kind of be in proximity?
Well, she had the other man's baby. We lived together for 3 months before the paternity test came about.
Ah.
And, so I was the child's father for 3 months. And then, yeah, we did end up working together. But the hardest part about all that was when I went back into work, especially that night and getting the paternity test, everybody asking me how the baby is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all my coworkers and regulars at the work. So that was the hardest part. And then she did come back. And then soon after, I ended up moving on to bigger and better things. But yeah, that was a pretty tough part in my life.
Close-minded.
I guess so.
Yeah. Ask me.
All right, Chad.
Thanks a lot for the call. Ross got the showbiz beat. Go to the next and Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock. KROQ 852.
X Games gold medalist Tanner Faust is going to be joining us coming up after the top of the hour. We're talking about the latest incarnation of what's called Top Gear.
Yep.
One of the most popular shows in the world finally coming to American TV. A lot of car fans, a lot of auto enthusiasts are going to be very excited about that. We'll talk to him all about Top Gear coming up on the Kevin Beach.
Every second you talk about it, it sounds worse.
It gets worse. Why? I'm just saying. People who are into cars are into the show.
Auto enthusiasts are legit. Like, about hot-ass cars driving against choppers and planes and stuff. Come on, make it exciting.
That's not what you said. You were that girl telling the story.
Auto enthusiasts would enjoy it. It's a program from the UK that was very popular on BBC Two.
Tell me you didn't hear Allison a few minutes ago on the show.
I was
in
rehab at the time.
We worked together and we didn't go out anymore.
She should be the host of Top Gear. All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, it's on.
What's on?
Bristol Palin versus the world.
Oh.
Apparently people are getting cheesed off because she's still in Dancing with the Stars.
Is she seriously
7 weeks in a row when she had the lowest score of any of the couples.
She did?
7 weeks in a row now.
Wow.
She's had the lowest scores of any of the dancing couples.
But how do they judge then? Don't they kick them off based on votes?
Because the audience gets to vote.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The judges gave her the lowest score of
I see. 7 consecutive weeks.
Awesome. So that's all they can do.
Yeah. Really, they can do is tell you how bad she is.
Right.
The rest is up to you, America. And apparently, there's a certain fan base out there, Sarah Palin's fan base, that is calling in and keeping her on the show. Well, now it's getting to be wartime, because people are starting to organize groups demanding people call in for other people to get her voted off the show. There's like a groundswell now, people who are going to vote for other talent on the show trying to get Bristol voted off.
Okay. Who cares this much about this TV show?
Well, apparently a lot
honestly,
of people do.
Honestly, like, what?
And to make matters worse, Kevin, Bristol and her younger sister Willow spewed a homophobic slur on Facebook against a schoolmate of Willow's who was making fun of the Palins. Willow wrote on Facebook, "You are an F word for gays. Drop the F bomb."
Yeah.
And that just went all everywhere. Now the gays are upset. So they're organizing.
Wow.
Willow and Bristol had to release the following statement. "Willow and I shouldn't have reacted to negative comments about our family. We apologize." Too late. Too late! You're going down, Bristol Palin. You're going to be in a video with a situation. That's what I sentence you to.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Oh, wait a minute. That already exists.
It'd never be that bad.
Yeah. Speaking of Jersey Shore, we're wrong and they're right.
That's not possible.
About what?
We think they're stupid,
right,
and lame, right, and reality show freaks and rejects.
Right.
We're wrong.
Because
Pauly D went to visit a friend on the campus of the University of Rhode Island. This happened last night. So many students chased after him when they found out he was there. The cops had to help him escape from the campus.
Campus closing time.
Pauly was there to visit a friend. Word spread on Facebook that he was there. Suddenly, students began pouring out of buildings so they could find Pauly, according to eyewitnesses. In a matter of minutes, roughly 1,000 students had surrounded the building where Pauly was holed up.
Please.
I believe it, Kevin.
You do?
I absolutely believe it. This is the thing you're not understanding, is famous is famous. It doesn't matter whether it's earned or deserved you've done anything to account, you know, to have people want to see you. The fact that you are a celebrity drives people crazy anymore.
Campus security couldn't handle the crowd. They had to call uniformed police officers from Rhode Island. Well, you were campus
mall
security,
cop?
You know.
Couldn't handle that.
They had to get Pauly, grab him. Trying to get him through the crowd of 1,000 students, get him in the car, and get him off campus.
Oh, he must love that.
No, it was 100 students. I bet he does.
It's 1,000 students.
It was 100, and somebody said 1,000.
Why would the police lie? This is from the police report. They told him he is not allowed to return to the University of Rhode Island unless he coordinates with law enforcement first, said the police department. He's got to check in with the law enforcement and get them ready with their riot gear and their SWAT teams
to lead him in
before he can go to the University of Rhode Island. That happened. He's a star.
I guess you're a student there and you just want to get a cell phone picture with him. I mean, I guess that's why you rush over to where he is when you hear he's on campus, right?
There can't be another reason. Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Or it's t-shirt time.
Yeah.
Cats are here. Just saying.
Lobster.
Come on now.
Champagne.
And Portia de Rossi DeGeneres. A lot of does in that name. She don't like men.
Right.
No, it goes beyond that.
Oh.
It's not that she doesn't want to have sex with them. She doesn't like them.
At all.
Yeah. Huh. People are very upset in Australia, where she was there recently promoting her book, Unbearable Lightness, A Story of Loss and Gain, about her battle with anorexia and her sexuality. And she refuses to be interviewed by any man.
Really?
That's weird.
Only women can interview her.
I wonder why.
She is not a fan of the sausage.
Well, I know, but there are a lot of women like that that don't make demands like that when they're being interviewed.
Well, people are a little confused.
Huh.
She was down in Australia, and on Channel 7 there, they have a show called Sunrise, which is, you know, comparable to our Today show or something like that.
So it's bad.
Host is David Cook, and he was told that he was not allowed to speak to her. The only person who could interview her was his co-host, Melissa Doyle. She was allowed to be interviewed, but Cook would not be allowed to be in on the interview.
Wow.
Is she afraid of catching heterosexuality if she talks to a dude?
There's that possibility.
That's weird.
That is very weird, especially somebody like Portia de Rossi, who's a great actress, been on a lot of good shows, I mean, has been around the business for a long time, pretty much knows that comes with the territory.
Yeah.
She also refused to speak to two morning DJs there in Australia, Hamish and Andy, who were sort of famous guys. Wouldn't talk to them.
Because they're guys? She say because they're guys?
Well, she talked to a female artist, a female DJ on that same station.
Huh. That's odd.
Well, this is what happens when you don't eat.
That's
you get
right.
The anorexia and you get cranky. Have a burger and come on our show. How about that, Portia? We'll all be happy.
Have a cracker. She won't come on our show. We're guys.
That's right. Let's resubmit the request and just tell her it's for the very popular Lisa May show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see what happens.
See if she'll come on.
She'll
then.
Be right in.
Rescue Me star Dennis Leary has been tapped to join the cast of the new Spider-Man film. He's going to be playing Captain Stacy, who is the captain of the police in New York City, and whose daughter is Gwen Stacy, who's Spider-Man's girlfriend.
Ah.
So Dennis Leary will be playing Emma Stone's dad. Oh, he's so lucky. I'd like to play Emma Stone's dad. You know what I mean?
Like to play her daddy.
Yeah. Daddy's unhappy. He's going to spank you. Are we still in the air?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Unfortunately.
And casting news, Pierce Brosnan reportedly talks to return to TV. He, of course, was Remington Steele, famously, before he became James Bond.
How that's not a porn name, I'll never know.
Remington Steele?
Yeah.
There's Lexington Steel.
Sure.
That's a porn name. Is. Yes, there is. Mike knows his work.
He does.
Oh, Black Anaconda. Hollywood Reporter says Pearson talks to star in a new TV series about an international operative and problem solver for hire.
And problem solver.
Yes.
That's weird.
If you're stuck on your Sudoku or something, he comes swinging in off a helicopter through your skylight and he helps you figure it out.
Hey, mate, try a seven there. Okay, he's, see ya.
I'm stuck on seven across. Can you help me?
He's a problem solver.
Wow.
That sounds like a spy James Bondy type of deal.
And, sure. I don't see him as the James Bond type. I don't think he can pull that off.
What? See what he did there? Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Nealon old is 57 years old today. Oscar Nunez from The Office is 52. Elizabeth Perkins turns 50. Kirk Hammett of Metallica and Child Booting is 48 years old today. It's a new sport, by the way. Owen Wilson is 42 years old. Actor Mike Epps turns 40. And Chloe Sevigny is 36 years old today. We have just been revisiting and appreciating her scene in the film called The Brown Bunny. It was directed and starring Vincent Gallo. She worked with him in that film.
She's a much better actress than I remember.
We realized we didn't really give true appreciation for some of her gifts that we're watching here, this clip
so
of her.
So has she earned her bell? Yes. Is that what you're suggesting, maybe?
Yeah, she can have a bell now.
May not be the best-looking woman in the world, but she knows how to work with what she's got.
Knows how to do that.
She does know how to do that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Started a new feature about, I don't know, I think it's been 2 or 3 weeks or something since we started Stop It America, you remember?
Sure.
And
How'd that work out?
Well, that's the point, is that maybe it was the first and only appearance of our new bit, Stop It America, because what we were trying to do before the song was released as a single even, before it became a massive hit song, is we were trying to figure out a way that Willow Smith, Will and Jaden Smith's daughter, 9 at the time she recorded this song, was not going to end up having a big hit, because frankly, this is crap, right?
Yeah, we even went to the trouble to come up with this.
Stop It America! Yeah!
And that didn't help.
Once you put a jingle on it, that shows you're serious. So I whipped my hair back and forth, Well, now it's a huge hit, and I realized that we had failed when I tuned into the Jimmy Fallon show earlier this week, and I saw him bringing out his very popular bit that he does where he dresses up like 1970s Neil Young. He's got the hat and the long hair, the harmonica, the bad guitar. And sounds just like
horrible singing.
And he decided he was going to do Whip My Hair. So he does the Neil Young version of Whip My Hair. And as if that's not bad enough, as if that already isn't putting a heart through, you know, a dagger through my heart with realizing how much we fail, then he brings out the boss, and I mean the real Bruce Springsteen, who comes out to sing along on freaking Whip My Hair. We have the video of this up at kevinandbean.com from yesterday if you want to see it. But here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
All my ladies, if you feel me, whip your hair.
Springsteen signs off on something. He is the boss, so clearly it's happening.
But he's putting a stamp of approval on Whip My Hair. He's mocking it. That's why we need to talk to him, make sure we got the right answer.
All right, well, let's find out, because we're lucky enough to have a hotline to the boss, and he joins us from his home in New Jersey right now. Bruce Springsteen on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, boss?
Good, Kevin Bean. How you guys doing?
We're good, thank you.
Great.
Could you clear up? We're having trouble understanding what your message was when you appeared with Mr. Fallon the other night singing Whip My Hair. Does that mean you support Willow's song, or you're mocking it and want it to die?
I think Whip My Hair is one of the most important pieces of music to come out of the American music scene in the past 20 years.
So you're mocking it. You're
no, not at all.
You're being funny. You're
no,
saying.
I'm 100% behind it. I think it's a great piece of not only dance music, but also art. And I think sometimes
are you kidding?
A song comes along that can change people's lives.
Okay.
I think this isn't it. I think Whip My Hair certainly is that.
What?
But you've written a lot of the kinds of songs that you're talking about where they really express the human condition and they help people aspire to be better, or maybe you take on government or something like that. This is just a little 9-year-old kid talking about bobbing her head back and forth. I mean, how does that mean anything to anybody, Bruce?
Well, out of the mouths of babes sometimes come something, you know?
Right.
And most
of the time it's throw up.
In this case, this is a piece of work that I think It makes my music look like crap, quite frankly. With my hair makes Thunder Road look like poop road. It makes Born in the USA look like poop in the USA.
Wow.
It makes Badlands look like poop land.
Right.
Oh, wow. It
makes Darkness on the Edge of Town look like Darkness on the Edge of Poop Town.
I didn't know you were taking this so hard, Bruce.
This is genius, and I was glad to be able to cover it and give it my own spin because it has deeply moved me and affected me, and I think everyone should listen closely to the lesson that Whip My Hair Back and Forth has to give us all.
Okay, and by the way, go to KevinDeBeat.com, see the video, because not only is Jimmy Fallon dressed up like a 70s-era Neil Young, but you, Bruce, put on the hat, had the beard, the big glasses. I mean, you looked exactly like you looked back in 1975 when you came out for this appearance.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why we think you're joking about it.
No, it made me recapture my youth and go back to a time when music was fresh and new to me, and it's given me a new lease on not only my career but my life as well.
Really?
But what is the important message? This is what I'm missing that we're supposed to take away, because really, if you do what the song says, all you end up doing is whipping your hair, and that accomplishes nothing.
That's just, you're just looking at the surface of it. You have to go underneath it.
Help us.
I whip my hair back and forth.
Right.
Yeah, it's like
that. We heard that.
I'm being who I am,
right? But
right in front of you, and my hair is going not only to the left,
right,
but to the right,
right.
There's no partisanship when it comes to whipping your hair,
right?
Both sides of the aisle are whipping their hair in both directions, to the left and the right.
Right.
We can all whip our hair and become joined as one together in a world of hair whipping.
So first you whip your hair back and forth, and then what do you do after you do that, Bruce?
Well, you whip your hair back and forth again.
You whip it again. Okay.
Twice. All right.
And you're just free to be yourself.
Okay.
You don't have to listen to the haters.
After you've done it twice, then what do you do?
You whip it again.
Okay.
You just keep whipping
three
it.
Three times.
Just keep on whipping
it until we have world peace and until famine is eradicated and poverty is stricken from this planet. And I think hair whipping will achieve that.
You do? You think it has that possibility?
Right now, I'm here in my home in Jersey, and we're in the studio.
Right.
We're putting together a big charity song.
Oh.
Where we're going to do an all-star version of Whip My Hair, and hopefully we can raise some money to end famine and poverty and pink eye. And hemorrhoids.
Wait, hemorrhoids?
Yeah, we think it'll solve all the world's problems, quite frankly.
Who's there? Wait, you're in the studio?
Yeah, I just took some time out to talk to you guys, but I was right in the middle of recording. Okay. We're down there, and we've got an all-star group of people.
Who's there?
Christopher Walken's here. He's laying down some tracks.
He's not singing on this song.
Oh, he is, there. Yeah.
Can we talk to him?
All right, hold on a sec. Chris,
why?
This is
weird.
This
doesn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on here.
Hello?
Christopher Walken.
Yes?
You're singing on this song.
Absolutely. I believe in what Bruce is putting together here.
Okay.
I couldn't be more excited.
Now, what does the song mean to you?
Well, take a listen. I hip my wear back and forth. I hip my wear. I wear my hip back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Bruce just called, and I said, "Okay, I'm not busy."
All right. Well, who else is there? Anyone else?
Arnold Schwarzenegger,
the
governor.
He doesn't sing, does he?
California.
That doesn't make any sense
is
at all.
Here in New Jersey.
Let's talk to him. Would you
all
mind?
Right.
All right.
Arnold. Oh, Kevin and Bean.
Hey, Arnold.
It's hot.
What's hot?
Whipping my hair. I whip my hair back and forth.
You're just yelling. Arnold, you're just yelling. What are you doing?
It's hot.
That's not singing.
Okay, Governor, we're actually almost out of time. Is there anyone else there, the all-star performance, that we need to talk to?
Hold on one second.
Oh.
I think Sean Connery's here.
Sean Connery.
Hold on one second.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Please, no.
Oh, no. No. No.
It's finger on the button, please. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Sean. We didn't know you were going to be there. Sorry.
Well, if I had known you'd be on the phone, I wouldn't have been here either.
Okay. I can understand that.
You son of a bitches.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Are you down with the boss and whipping your hair back and forth?
I am. If I had hair, I'd be whipping it.
All right.
Okay.
But instead, I'm just lending my voice, hopefully, to solve all the problems.
Can we hear your part of it?
Like bitches who won't shut up.
Wow.
That's my cause.
That's not the same cause.
No, it's not.
No.
But I'm going to whip my hair.
Okay. All right.
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. My pubic hair, you bitch.
All right, thank you. Well, before we get to the showbiz news, I would like to hear that moment with Mike again when he was interviewing Jay Leno about automobiles at the car show.
That was an exceptionally good question.
It really was. I think it might shoot right to the top 10 this year for moments with. We rarely get a moment with from Mike.
That's true.
I think he's making up for it here.
Now, can they take anything away technologically from that and apply it to cars that could maybe make something that's performance-wise is up there and also ecologically sound?
And what was the question? What was that?
By the way, I'd like to point out, just for the record for you haters, Jay Leno had the punchline in that piece of tape right there. He was the funny one.
That was an alley tape. He was already up by the rim. Mike just tossing the ball.
He was playing t-ball.
I do feel like we need to set that up to 13 and put it through the back computer and try to figure out what the actual question was supposed to be.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out, but it was pretty magical. So, thanks, Mike.
Strong.
No problemo, says the Mikester. Congratulations to Chad Ochocinco. He's found the woman of his dreams. It's him with a wig on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her name is Evelyn Lozada, and she was previously engaged to former Celtic Antoine Walker. She's on that reality show, The Basketball Wives. And he proposed last Tuesday, gave her a 10-carat diamond ring.
Wow.
No way. No way. Get real.
To show his love for her, she tweeted, "I'm no rabbit, but 10 carats looks good on me."
They're perfect for each other.
See?
Wow.
See what you did there?
Hmm.
Because carats,
wow,
spelled differently, right, is also a vegetable.
Wow.
That rabbits enjoy.
Sure. But she's saying she's not a rabbit.
No.
I see.
Is there a football wives show she can go on now?
She will.
She's
shortly
switching sports?
She will after they get divorced. Soon. Tim Allen is working on several different TV show offers right now, but apparently one of them is not taking over the reins at Dunder Mifflin over there on The Office.
Good.
There had been some rumors that Tim was in consideration to take over when Steve Carell left that show next season, but he told AbsoluteNow.com that he talked to a producer about it, but it's simply not happening. So we can all exhale.
What do you guys think of this season of The Office?
It's okay. There have been better seasons.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not feeling a lot of excitement for that show.
I don't
30
think
Rock, however, has been through the roof funny this year.
And Alec Baldwin, I don't know how. I mean, it seems like if it's possible, he gets better every week. The guy's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Funniest guy on television, in my opinion, right now. You know I'm a comic book geek. I don't know, you guys mock me for it on a regular basis.
Capital G.
But you know, there's a lot of us out there. Some hide it. Some don't wear it on their sleeves. Some of the biggest names in Hollywood. Like a Mr. Denzel Washington?
Yeah.
How about him? How about Denzel Washington? You want to mock Denzel Washington?
Doesn't seem likely that he's your people, Ralph.
Oh, really? He said to AbsoluteNow.com in an interview while he was talking about his new movie, Unstoppable, that he's a huge comic book geek and plans on attending the Comic-Con convention this year dressed up as one of his favorite characters so he can walk around completely incognito.
Malcolm X.
Jay Nerd! Nerd! I wonder what superhero he's going to be.
He's kidding.
Blackzilla?
Come on.
Yeah.
He's pulling your leg.
He said he'd love to make a comic book movie like Spider-Man. He'd love to do a blockbuster like that. If someone would just offer him a job, he'd take it.
Wow. Who's the most high profile of the black superheroes, Ralph?
Wow, that's a good question. I would have to say
Jackie Moon? Oh, wait.
And by the way, I'm not suggesting that he couldn't play any character. I mean, I would be fine with him playing a character who wasn't originally black, but I'm just curious of the ones that have been presented that way. Who comes to mind?
Black Lightning from DC Comics is pretty big. No, it's a different kind of lightning. He actually has the power of lightning.
Coming out of his fingers?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right.
That's pretty cool,
That's
right?
pretty good.
The Falcon over there, Marvel Comics, used to be a longtime partner of Captain America. The Falcon.
Okay.
Black Panther, of course.
Of course.
Not the Black Panthers, but a character called Black Panther.
Who's the one that Sam Jackson plays in that upcoming movie, The Avengers?
He plays...
not a superhero?
Not a superhero. He plays Nick Fury of S.H.I.E.L.D., who in the comics initially was white.
Okay.
But they didn't care. They just cast Sam anyway, who's another big comic book fan. They just made him Nick Fury for the films and paid no attention to the color of the character's skin in the original
books. I would not
have
guessed that Denzel Washington was a comic book fan.
You wouldn't have guessed that, would you?
Not at all.
Now you know.
Now you know.
Because he seems cool, unlike the rest of
he's
you.
He's my
cool.
Oh,
you're not.
I am so good. Oh, boy. Wait till I... Ooh. See, this is why I have to work with Kevin Smith. You forced me to go work with Kevin Smith so I can lick my wounds.
Oh, that's not right.
Not feel so damaged the way happening. I do when I come here.
How dare you.
Speaking of comic books and comic book movies, the Spider-Man cast for the reboot of that franchise continues to get larger. Dennis Leary has joined the cast. He'll be playing Captain Stacy, Gwen Stacy's dad. Of course, the police captain who tries to bring down Spider-Man all the while. Spider-Man's secret identity, Peter Parker, is actually dating his daughter, Gwen Stacy. What are the odds?
Oh, he's going to be so upset when he finds out.
You see the irony there? Emma Stone, of course, plays Gwen Stacy in the movie. Looking forward to that. I told you yesterday about a new movie version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., a very popular 60s spy TV series. It was really a great, great show. George Clooney apparently now in talks to play the lead role of Napoleon Solo, one of the two spies on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Actually, he was The Man from U.N.C.L.E., I guess Napoleon Solo was, and then there was like his sidekick, Ilya Kuryakin, played by David McCallum, who's now in one of the biggest shows on television. He's on NCIS. He plays the doctor over on that show, the autopsy guy. So, see? Not funny, but educational. You got that going for you. And Glee continues to grow. Ratings for Glee were up 7% on Tuesday, thanks to Gwyneth Paltrow's guest starring appearance, giving Fox a big win over Dancing with the Stars, which is a major accomplishment these days, because that show is a juggernaut. They're talking about the post-Super Bowl edition of Glee, a prized spot in television, one of the greatest lead-ins in television. They've announced the theme for that week's episode will be Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Timing.
Well executed. Yes. Well executed.
My bad.
So we got that to look forward to on February 6th. And the Glee folks also tease us with the fact that an Elton John tribute is coming up sometime this season as well.
Right.
You know, I wish they would just give that gay character Kurt some time on that show.
It would help.
I'm tired of his character being given the short shrift to not be able to explore what it's like to be a gay kid in high school. Maybe finally with the Elton John episode, we'll finally get some attention paid to him.
Well, you know he's the only out kid in his whole high school, Ralph.
It's very hard.
Oh, wait, have they not mentioned that?
It's very hard to be him. I'm just glad he's met Blaine. Just glad him and Blaine will be a couple now. Maybe he'll feel better. Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Kevin Nealon. Unfunny is 57 years old today. Is there any funnier character than Mr. Subliminal?
I don't know.
I love him.
It's always good.
He's great. He's a great actor, too. God, I love him on Weeds so much, too. He's just a funny guy, nice guy. I really love him.
Oscar Nunez from The Office is 52 years old. Elizabeth Perkins turns 50 years old today. Kirk Hammett of Metallica. Who is also the captain of the kid-kicking team this year for the Olympics. They're coming up.
I didn't realize that was an Olympic sport.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just going to be an exhibition sport this year, but they're trying to get it in. So we got that going for us. He's 48 years old today. Owen Wilson is 42. Mike Epps is 40. Chloe Sevigny is 36 years old today. She, of course, indie movie darling, could be seen for many seasons on Big Love. Played the ugly wife on that show.
That's true.
That might be why you guys were early this morning resistant to Abel, because they do they do everything they can on that show to make her as plain as possible. She's actually very pretty girl.
It's not that much work for them.
Check her out in like Last Days of Disco or some of those other movies that she's made. She looks hot.
Check her out in Vince Gallo's Zipper, which was one of my favorite performances. She gave a great performance in that.
That was a good performance.
Yeah, just a favor. Go to Google, say Chloe Sevigny. It's Sevigny, and then Vincent Gallo. Put those two names in there, and then watch whatever video comes up, and you'll enjoy their scene from The Brown Bunny.
Not safe for work,
no. But hardly safe for home, quite frankly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have Dimitri Martin in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
We have Adam Carolla.
Dimitri Martin, by the way, the only grown man still rocking a Justin Bieber haircut. What's up with that guy? Well, it's a very unusual look for him.
Maybe he whips his hair back and forth.
Oh, we'll have to ask.
Yeah, everyone else does.
Yes.
Movie Beat, as it's Friday. Speaking of the Movie Beat, we're going to talk to the world's largest Harry Potter fan and try and get caught up with where we need to be.
That would be helpful.
I can't keep everything straight, I have to be honest. I'm a little confused on where the storyline is.
A little bit.
There's like there's some chocolate that turns into a frog or something. I remember.
And Laker Pau Gasol, all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.